Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome again to another episode of the Right View Radio Show. This is your host, Jumana, and another week with news, commentary, and phone calls. Love to hear your input on the matters. Call in number 319-527-6208. Again, it's 319-527-6208. Let's start with a prayer, and I'm going to start with a prayer from the Bible, and let me open my bookmark. I hope everybody can hear me loud and clear, and no sound issues this week, because we've been having some technical difficulties. So I'm going to read from Romans Sorry, I lost my bookmark. So, Romans 2:1. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in the passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same thing. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impotent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. Amen. So I was just going through some news articles, and I guess the audit for Maricopa County has been done. It's done, and looks like they found no discrepancies. And so basically, they're claiming all claims of fraud is now a laughing joke, a laughing matter, rubbing it in mainstream media. I was looking through some articles, and of course, I mean, I'm not sure. I wasn't following the story really well. But according to them, here I'm looking through Apple News, and I'm going to read you some of the headlines. So it's kind of disappointing because we already know. I mean, like the truth, but we also know that they've been preparing to steal the election from a long time ago, and we were not prepared. So it's just crazy. And I think Biden is up again, pushing for his vaccine. Go get vaccinated. Why does he whisper? It's so creepy. Isn't he a creep? Like, if he says it that way, we're going to listen. Go get vaccinated. Ugh. The more they push, the more it's a no for me. And then it's funny how he's using God protect our soldiers after every time he speaks. So after now, after you killed all the, you were the reason, the direct reason why the last soldiers died. And now he's praying for their protection. Maybe if you did your job correctly, maybe if you hadn't struck a deal with the terrorists and China, maybe they would not have died. But of course, he's playing the game, right? He's playing the game. He's disgusting. I mean, this whole clown show is literally horrifying at this point. And I know in the past couple of days, there was a lot of meetings and speeches at the UN Council in New York. And let me tell you, whatever these bastards are cooking, it's not going to be for your good or my good. So God help us. God help us. But Biden did surrender this country to the globalists, literally. He cares about the globalists. So let me ask you this, speaking of globalism. How did these Haitian migrants get to the U.S.? I mean, I've seen a lot of footage, and I didn't see any women or children. Maybe there is, I didn't see any. But how did all of these Haitians get to the Texas border? Isn't Florida closer? How did they get there? Somebody must have flew them in. Somebody brought them. Somebody is paying them to come. This is a deliberate act. Everything you see, nothing is coincidence. These Haitians didn't just meet in the wilderness somewhere or in a city town, in a town square, and say, hey, let's all go crash the Texas border. It doesn't work that way. These guys don't know each other. There's tens of thousands of them, and they all decide to come at the same time. Right. Mm-hmm. We believe that. It's just insanity. Insanity. And so this is not going good. Now they're blaming the border patrol that they're whipping the Haitians. I mean, come on. Are you serious? Look at how much they hate our security. They hate the police. They hate the sheriffs. They hate the border patrol. They hate anybody. Like, it's, and the funny part is that these people, if things really get as bad as Australia, the same men in uniform, and I hope I'm wrong, I pray to God I'm wrong, will be treating us like the police are treating Australians. They're literally shooting them with rubber bullets now. They don't care. They don't care. And I saw one guy on TikTok, he's following the police, and he's asking him, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? What are you doing? And he says, I got a family. I hate the lockdowns as much as you do, but my wife is home, and I need to make a living. Just like the Nazis used to say, oh, I'm just doing my job, right? I'm just doing my job. And that's the problem. That is the problem. And I understand. And I understand that they do have families. They do need to make a living. But at a certain point, there needs to be a line drawn. And that cannot be crossed. Okay? These are peaceful protesters. And these are fighting. These people, same people you are shooting rubber bullets at them, they are fighting for your kids as well as theirs. So you cannot be treating them this way. You need to put your gun down and band up with everybody else, with all the other troops in your precinct, and just say no. Were they going to fire all of you? Let them. Because the people will stand by you. They will help you. They will feed you. I know how things work when the communities band together. And that's why the governments keep dividing the people by race, gender, creed, religion. They love it because you get distracted from who the true criminal is. And it looks like the plan is going on. The Great Reset, they're not going to slow down. They're pushing full throttle. And I hope people are not getting booster shots, honestly. But I just want to let you know something. So I'm trying to share the link for the radio show on Facebook. And I wanted to share it from Facebook to other apps to send to my friends and my relatives. And then I hit the link from Facebook, and I'm going to read to you what it says, okay, because I love this. Check this out. So it's on my Facebook page. I click on it, and I get this pop-up that says, this show talks about COVID-19. Are you sure you want to continue? For more information, visit the CDC, da-da-da, and there's a link. And then the two options were continue or return. How do they know on this show I'm talking about COVID vaccine or COVID-19? What is Facebook now listening to my show? If you do, Zuckerberg, I would say to you, with all due respect, go F yourself. Craziness. They sold us out let me tell you one more thing. I actually got this audiobook on Audible, and I love to listen. Even though I read, but I do love listening because I always have noise in the background. I cannot handle silence. So I'm trying to see what's going on with the pandemic, with hoaxes, because there is books already out. So I bought a couple audio version. And then so today I got this book called Technocracy, The Road to World Order by Patrick Wood. This book is amazing. I recommend it. It's called Technocracy, The Road to World Order. He's talking about Agenda 2020, Agenda 2030, and he goes back in history to when did this all climate change and global warming stuff started, right? And if I tell you guys who's responsible, you're going to be shook to the core. Go back to the Clinton era. And not Hillary, the husband, John Podesta is the one who started all of this and pushed Clinton and Obama to sign the Paris climate agreement. He is the one behind all of this. Are you guys surprised? This is the king of Pizzagate. John Podesta. It's the same key players in every situation, in under every rock you look. The scum of the earth, the same demons behind every problem we are facing. And so even though during Obama, the Republicans resisted the climate, the Paris Climate Agreement, including President Trump. But Obama decided under an executive order to sign up. And it's a binding agreement by law. So that's a really good book. I also read, or I also listened to, the Nuremberg Trials. And let me go back to my library. There's another really good book that I also listened to about COVID and the whole thing. Even though this one admits that there's a COVID thing, it's called The Truth About COVID-19 by Dr. Joseph Mercola. I know this name is ringing in your ear right now because you've heard about him before. He's being censored right now. So The Truth About COVID-19 by Dr. Joseph Mercola. Pretty good book. It talks, of course, about the madness of what's going on. And, of course, all of these measures have nothing to do with our health, obviously. They are just to bring in the Great Reset, which is another thing in the book of the Technocracy, he talks about the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, and the whole plan. And so he covers the whole topic. And I am at chapter 8. The book is about 16 chapters. So let's read some more headlines. House passes bill creating a statutory right to abortion amid battle over Texas law. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. They can't go without their child sacrifices, right? To Moloch, they got to get those sacrifices going. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I don't understand women either. I mean, a woman to go and choose to kill her child is something beyond my understanding. And don't get me wrong. Back in the day, I didn't think anything wrong with it. But when I had my own children, and I look at them and I think, oh my God, I could have like killed my own child. Like, it's murder. I don't care who your God is or who do you worship or how you worship. It's not the point. The point is that there's a life inside of you. If you don't want the child, there's families that are starving and they're dying to have kids. Really good people, really good couple, and they cannot afford fertility treatments. It's very expensive. And so to kill your own child, and don't get me wrong, I know it might sound graphic right now, but they do horrific things to the children, to the babies. And I know they lie to the women, and they convince them by saying, hey, it's the patriarchy, it's the evil patriarchy. Men just want to control you. They want to control your body. They want to control, they just want you pregnant and cooking and cleaning. They manipulate. A woman, her whole destiny is to be a mother. You can get any job you want. You can run after your career. At the end of the day, when you hit 50 and you realize, oops, the train has passed me. Oh, shoot, I'm all alone now. That's when you know, oh, my God, they lied to me. But it's too late now, right? Okay. I have a caller. Let's take a phone call. And I'm going to get you in. Area code 111. You are on the air. Can you hear me, sir? Ma'am? You're on the air. This is the Right to You radio show. Can you hear me? You're on the air. Maybe you should try calling back. Check your connection because I cannot hear you. So let's go back here, caller. Please call us back. Check your mic and try us again. The phone number is 319-527-6208. 319-527-6208. This is the Right to You radio show. I'm your host, Jumana. Another episode, another week, going through the mess of the mass vaccine program, where they are going to keep on tying the rope around corporations' necks, around small businesses, big businesses, around private sectors and public sectors. It's going to be a big mess. And, of course, all over Europe, Australia, Canada, even New York now. I'm very proud of you people in New York. Hats off to you. You guys are resisting. Very, very good. Stay strong. Stay strong. Do not comply. Do not submit to tyranny. And there is, by the hundreds of thousands, people are protesting. Are protests working? I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I do not want to be the one that says is going to have to get ugly, really ugly, before it gets better. But it seems that it's the only way. Historically speaking, it has been the only way. Because look at what's happening. So you cannot, at this point, we cannot even, through elections, get rid of the tyrant. Not everybody has the money to take it to court, and it takes forever for a lawsuit. If you want to, especially if you want to sue, like through the higher court, or federal courts, it's going to take forever. So what is it to be done? What can you do to change the course? And I think we have to come to the realization that if something is meant to happen, this is the course of his, like, let's say the future is going to be going, and we just have to stay strong in the faith, because God is always in control. And we just have to try our best to hold the line. Because elections are fraudulent. I'm never going to believe there's going to be a straight election and that my vote counts. Because we've seen what happened in the recall in California governor. They flipped the numbers right in front of our eyes on CNN. It's never going to change unless there is a huge, like, audit. It has to be, I mean, and these machines and this whole deal with, oh, my God, what a mess. What a mess. And I think part of it, too, is they want people to not believe in elections because they don't care about your vote. They don't care. It's no longer these people sitting in the Congress, in the Senate, in the House. They don't care. They are not there for you anymore. They don't represent you. They don't care what we think on both sides, not just the Democrats or the Republicans. They don't care about either of us. They don't care about what we are or what we do or who we are, where do we live. They don't care. Because they see us as the peasants. We are below them. They are above the law. And they protect each other. They might do a show in front of you. This guy will yell at this guy, or they bring him to a hearing in the Senate or the Congress. They bring somebody to. It's all just a show. It's just for show. They don't care. They already have everything set in stone. They already planned everything. Everything is planned. And they just try to distract the people. Because if one or two Republicans put their hands together and started at least started an impeachment for Biden, look at how many times they impeached President Trump. Can't even try to impeach him one time. Especially after the disaster. Okay, what about General Milley, the traitor? Is somebody going to make him accountable? Does anybody care? They don't care. Be ready. Prepare. Get yourself some food that is long-lasting. Load up on ammo, water, generator, way of communication other than cell phones, and most importantly, fix your house. And what I mean by that is spiritually. Be right with God, because the times are coming are going to require a lot of faith. And try to spend a lot of time with your family and loved ones. Because it seems that they want to ban travel completely. They're going to make it super hard for you to go anywhere. And now that they keep blaming the unvaccinated, even here in the U.S., I'm assuming the next step would be, oh, you can't get on an airplane if you're not vaccinated. We're not going to take a PCR test. We don't know, because already the CDC said, oh, PCRs are not accurate, right? So they're going to come up with a way to make you not travel. Not because of COVID, because this is part of the UN agenda. The whole carbon emission, oh, I saw something this morning about, so let's say you want to purchase a product. This is how they're going to be doing it in the future. How much carbon emissions did it cost to make that product that you're about to purchase? And how many miles did you drive to get to the place where you're going to purchase it from? All of this is going to be called carbon tax. So they're going to tax the heck out of everybody. Every mile you drive, every product you purchase, every mile you fly, it's going to be insane. And when they talk about equity, they don't mean everybody's going to be like, oh, we're going to take money from the rich and we're going to give it to the poor. Huh? Right. Equity means equally, everybody's going to be equally poor. They don't want a middle class. They want a peasant class, and they stay on top. So we must be ready. I still see yesterday, I was in Huntington Beach, and the ships are still docking as far as the eye can see, full of cargo, full. They're not unloading the ships. And so I asked my friend, I said, what's going on? Like, what is the holdup here? And she said, well, they are union workers. And if you test positive, even if you don't have symptoms, if you want to take a day off or whatever, 2 weeks to recover from supposed COVID, they will still pay you. So they don't really care about going back to work. Why work if I'm getting paid? Same thing. And this is not just here in America. I'm talking ports all over the world is the same deal. It's the same deal everywhere. Every single country is in lockstep following the protocol agreed on by these monsters, psychopaths. They are psychopaths. And we are not dealing with people that have rational thinking, critical thinking. You are dealing with people that don't see even what's going on. Like, it's been a year and a half, and there's a lot of people that are still thinking there is a true COVID. There's variants, and they're scared of variants. It's insane. And I'm looking, picking up my son today from his high school, and I saw all the kids leaving today. They're not kids. They're like teenagers, right? It's 9 till 12th grade. And all of them just walking outside the school. They're leaving the school. Everybody's masked up. And nobody spends more time on the internet more than teenagers. And yet, here you go. They don't look for information that are important. And I know the school is forcing them or whatever, but you walked out of the school compound. Funny that I said compound. Take the mask off. It's not like they wear it out. I mean, I don't even know. I don't understand teenagers. They used to be rebellious. Like back in the day, us, when I was young, we were rebellious. We didn't care. We didn't listen to anybody. And these kids, they're just zombies. They follow order. Older followers are the worst. They don't question, they don't say why or what's the reason behind it. They just, okay. And I also saw a family in Huntington Beach where the mom was wearing a mask. The dad wasn't. But both little kids, they're like 3 and 4, were masked up. Every time I see a kid masked up, I get so sad. My heart just breaks. And I look at the parents, and I'm like, how dare you? How dare you do that to your child? How dare you? And I'm going to go fight in my son's school. The board meeting is coming up. And the funny thing is, I'm going to be the first parent to talk about it, that I don't want my child to be masked at school. The secretary at the school, when I went for his registration, said, you'll be the first. And I looked at her and I was like, really? There's about like 2,000 kids in this school. Are you serious? She said, yep, you're going to be the first one. I was like, if I do not have majority support by other parents, they're not going to listen to me. Nothing's going to change. what do I do here? So I told my son, so keep your eyes and ears open. Any staff, anybody from the school teachers that you get the sense from them that they don't believe in this crap, let me know who they are so I can at least have some backup. And to even try to reach out to people in my community, I've been kicked out of the city, my city's Facebook group 100 times. They banned me because I'm a conservative. Every time I try to join, I would get, first thing I write, I get kicked out. That's funny. So basically, the Technocracy book. So here's the juicy part. They want to follow China's model in surveillance and governance. See, our constitution is not going to matter in the next couple of years. It's just go and what constitution? It's going to be like, what? Because it's not going to be the government that's going to be governing. It's going to be corporations. So when the Great Reset by Klaus Schwab, when he talks about stakeholder, okay, that's what they're talking about. They want the big corporations to run the show, bypassing the Constitution, which is, we're seeing it right now, obviously. We have all these social media companies could care less about your First Amendment. They could care less. You no longer have a voice. They will actually cut you from the servers. You wouldn't even have your own website up like they did with Parler. That was a big company, and they just erased them. Completely gone. I don't know if it's back or not, but I was unable. You don't even see, like, if you go to the Play Store, a lot of right-wing media outlets or whatever, they don't even appear on the Play Store. Like True News, Gab, it's not even in the Play Store. So you have to go and either use a browser to get, it's just, so that's what they're doing. And it's not just conservatives. Let me be clear here. They are after also and libertarians, because you oppose the government, any dissenting voices from any part, from any side, you're going to be on the chopping block. They don't want to hear resistance from anybody. But as we see in general, the Democrats are all complying, right? They all just, yeah, more. 2 masks, I'll put 4. 2 shots, or I'll take 5. It's just, they know their base. They're just zombies. You cannot even reason with these people. So they're coming after libertarians, independents, and conservatives. Because you criticize this regime now, the new regime, which is obviously not run by our government as we think of it as our government, like our Congress, our representatives. No. It's run by the deep state. It's run by those big corporations that could care less about your constitution or your rights. You have no rights. Whatever they would allow you to say, they'll allow you to say. And guess what is governing us? Algorithm. It's not like there's actually a Democrat sitting behind a computer watching you, watching your posts or watching your videos. It's algorithm. We are being run by a computer code. So they get to just anything. Sometimes, like, channels get banned for even mentioning, they're not even mentioning, like, let's say, COVID or something. They label it misinformation, nothing. I just posted one time a clip from an Australian fella. He was talking about resisting the tyranny, da-da-da. This is the video that got me completely taken off. My channel is gone, over 5,000 subscribers. I had over 5 years of work without a warning, which is gone, deleted. I'm banned from accessing Google through that email. I can't even access my Gmail, nothing. They completely kicked me out. Of course, I always come back, but it's just hard to build the platform all over again, especially when your subscribers don't know where you went. So yeah, it's a mess. They try to do that, but I'm not going. I'm going to keep on fighting. Which is, I'm glad to have this platform, obviously. It's an outlet so far, no censorship. But I know now that me sharing the link on social media platform for people to tune in, I know now after I saw this pop-up that my show probably, that my post wasn't even visible on Facebook. Probably people, my friends and family don't even know that I'm on live. So that happens as well. So, but we cannot give up. We gotta keep on fighting these tyrants. We gotta think of our kids' future. What are we gonna leave them with? And that's something that keeps me up at night. And I think at this point that whatever it's gonna take, all my cards are on the table. I don't have something that would hold me back at all. Like, I am ready to die on this hill. No matter what, doesn't matter what it's going to take. And believe me, it's not easy. Fighting for freedom throughout history always came with bloodshed. A lot of people died in order to secure some freedoms for the generations after them. So, and here, I guess every generation have their chance to fight for freedom, and this is ours, this is our turn. Our grandparents fought in World War II, and you have us now here fighting for a new wave of tyranny, global tyranny. It's unbelievable, it's unimaginable what's happening. The scope of it, you know, the plan is so massive, and they covered all the details. They've really been planning this for a while, and they're executing it perfectly. And anyone standing in the way or might wake people up or letting them know what's up, or, hey, maybe you should listen to this guy instead of this guy. No. You, even if you're a medical specialist or a doctor, your opinion doesn't matter if it doesn't line up with the agenda. Any dissenting voices. And this censorship, it's scary. I'm not going to lie to you. Censorship is the beginning of, I would say, genocide. Because you silence the people, you don't hear their voices, then you have them, the representative in government, they don't listen to them. There is no way to reach any of them. You cannot vote them out. So they're pushing us into a corner. And they're going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing, right? They're going to tighten the circle. And one day, and I know they know that, people are going to be fed up. There's going to be big, big rebellion. And I would say, if this push for the vaccines is met with the same resistance that I believe is happening, because I know for a fact Biden is lying. They're lying. I don't believe only 80 million Americans left that are not vaccinated. I don't believe it. I know a lot of people took it, but I my guess, probably we are what, a country of 320 million people. I would say 20 million people took the shot. I put my money on that, because Jen Psaki, and I'm going to let you hear the clip right now, she admitted that we gave the vaccine to a Republican president. So assuming that they will accept it, because whatever Trump says, his base will just follow. He says jump, and his followers will say how high. But they did not expect, according to her, and I'm quoting here, vehement rejection of the vaccine. They were not expecting that. So on that basis, and I'm happy to think so, because when I think about it, It's actually awesome. I'm glad so many Americans are awake. Even with Trump, when he got booed, when he was saying it in his rally last time, and he mentioned the vaccine and the crowd booed him. So this is a good step. This is a good sign. Good sign. They try to censor, but I know we can get there. If you seek, you will find. If you seek the truth, you will find. And from day one, they announced the lockdowns. I knew what was up because I didn't sleep for like a week. I was up all night just researching, looking on the internet. I'm like, something is not adding up. What is going on here? This doesn't make any sense. Nothing is making sense. And trying to figure and listen to outside media sources and looking here and looking there and just getting videos from everybody and footage and all of that. And I'm like, nah, something is up. And then one day, I don't know, you guys remember Dr. Erickson and his partner, they came out and then right away YouTube took them down. And I was, but I found it on BitChute and I watched it. And I was like, exactly. I mean, what kind of measures are these? This is stupid. What do you mean wash your hands and what? It's not like we just came out of the Stone Age. We don't know how to wash your hands or cover your mouth when you cough. Really? Those are the measures. Stay 6 feet, six. Yeah, six. They have to choose six. Somehow they have to show their hand. Six, right? Remember those stickers they put on the doors in the beginning where it says, like, stay 6 feet apart. And then it's like six, six, six. They have like a triangle and three persons on the sticker. 6 feet apart with 666 on it. Hilarious. And so, yeah, none of the measures, and they're, of course, flopping. Oh, mask, it doesn't benefit you. And then, oh, we need to wear a mask. And all the back and forth. Of course, they don't know what they're talking about. It's all crap. And I hung out with so many people by the thousands every weekend. None of us got sick, not even a cold. So what are they talking about? Like, I don't see people dropping dead like they should in the beginning, like I said, in China. None of that happened anywhere. And then supposedly the hospitals are war zones. And then you look and all these nurses are doing TikTok dances. And I'm like, what? So I was like, hey, let's go drive around the hospital. Let's film your hospital, which was great. So from the hospital, empty. Parking lots empty. Everywhere empty. And then they caught up to us. So they started putting security guards at the hospitals. Oh, now you can't go even visit your loved ones if they're in the hospital. You can't even go in with them. He can't go in and see them. I mean, it's ridiculous. My husband's father passed away in the hospital, and he was unable to go say goodbye. And he wasn't even a COVID patient. And so, of course, then as it was global, then you have the Tanzanian president come out and test the PCR test. And he goes and tests it with cod oil, fruit, whatever, here and there, they all came up. So he, that was key, by the way. That was key for my awakening. And then I saw a clip of Dr. Thomas Cohen. God bless him. Him and Dr. Kaufman, Andrew Kaufman. I love these two men. God bless them. Amazing. They changed my mind. They opened my eyes on the whole germ theory thing. That you can get sick from either having a bacterial infection, fungal infection, or your trauma, injury. Viruses are just merely fragments or from DNA fragments that are from the cells that your cell expels because it's trying to purify itself. That's when you get sick. For example, when you have a cold or, you know, whatever, and you're coughing all this mucus, all of this stuff is just your body is trying to get rid of the dead cells. We have a lot of bacteria and germs in our body, or what do they call them? Like live bacteria and the good bacteria, right? In your body, we have a lot of them. They protect us. And so nothing is going to beat God's immune system, God's given immune system. No, nothing, no medicine will. All of these medicines have horrific side effects. They will fix one thing or just one, and then will give you 100 side effects. all bunch of chemicals. They're just mixing chemicals and injecting them into people. So basically, your body will, like how in the throughout the year, then the fall comes and then the trees drop their leaves, right? And so the human body goes through the same cycle, right? So at the end of the year, which is around winter, when people get like the flu-like symptoms, it's because your body's trying to clarify itself. At the end of the year, same period, and it's like shedding the trees shed their leaves. You have to get something where your body is just your cells and your body is trying to expel that. So you get sick for a couple of days. You get all that mucus out, everything that you ate, that shit, everything that you breathe in, all those chemicals and poisons, and you just body. And that's why after like being sick for a week or something and you get better, you feel 10 times better than you did before because your body was able to get rid of all of these poisons in your body. So that opened my eyes big time. And I knew there was truth to it because if you had the flu and you go to the doctor, they give you Tamiflu now. But before, let's say you have a head cold or whatever, and then there is no medication for viral infections. But for bronchitis, for example, it's bacterial infection. When you cough and your mucus is green, that's bacterial infection. You need an antibiotic for that, that's for sure. But if it's a viral infection, usually there is no medicine for viral infection. They lie to you when they tell you there is. What do you think is in Tamiflu? I bet you it's just a bunch of vitamins, like vitamin C or boost, whatever. And so fungal, there is treatment for it, and there is for bacterial, but nothing for viral. So that just made the link in my head. Okay, well, Dr. Thomas Cohen is right. There is this. By the way, this whole... You have to watch content. You'll find them on BitChute and Library and Odyssey. Even Dr. Kerry Mullis, the inventor of the PCR test, he talks about HIV. Same with Dr. Judy Malkovich. I saw her live, by the way. She came to Huntington Beach, and she spoke at a conference. And she was talking about what these people are doing in labs. They're mad scientists. So... Yeah, I would not trust, even though whatever the bioweapon they manufactured in the lab, I would still rather take my chances with nature and whatever God immunity gave, he gave me. I would rather fight it by myself on my own immunity than to take anything from them. I will never swallow a pill again. No matter what. Like, I am so afraid. I sometimes get migraines, really horrible. Maybe like 2-3 years ago, I was getting them like maybe 3-4 times a month. I would get debilitating migraines. They would last for a long time. It was so painful. And so finally, a doctor prescribed me a medicine called Cambia, which is like powder. The box come. He used to give them to me from his clinic, you know, like those samples. And it's like miracle. It's like a miracle. All of this stuff, even one time my friend, she had a migraine. So she drove home from work. She asked me to pick up her kids. And she just couldn't, she didn't know how she got home. And so I told her, okay, I'm going to pick up the kids for you. And then I'll bring you one of my medicine and hopefully you'll get better. I gave it to her and I left. 20 minutes later, she calls me and she's dry. I was like, where are you? She's like, oh, I'm going shopping. I'm like, what do you mean you're going shopping? She's like, oh my God, what is this medicine you gave me? It's like, I'm lying. It's like, I was lying. My migraine is gone. And so it's pretty powerful medicine. So these four packets, which is four doses, that medicine Cambia, is $550. And it's not covered by any health insurance plans. Four doses. But my doctor, finally, when he ran out of all the samples that he gave me, my husband's cousins are doctors. Sometimes they get samples, they keep them for me. He gave me the generic of Cambia. And it is, obviously, it's not like the original, but it still works. I have to double up on the dose, but it still works. This is the only medicine I take. This is the only thing I take. And now, like, thank God, my migraines are less. They come maybe once every 2-3 months. And so, but I feel them coming like a day before. the pressure build up in my head, and I feel it coming, and I know it's like, oh, and I dread that feeling so much. I don't wish that on my worst enemy. Migraines can be horrible. But yeah, that's the only medicine I take, and I hope no one, like, if you are on like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 different medicines, find another doctor. Let them, like, these, they're going to ruin your kidneys. It ruins your health. It's just a mess. Try to not take too many pills. And they contradict each other too. Like, it's just a mess. And it seems like the whole medical field now is just, you go and they just prescribe you. Okay, what are the symptoms? Okay, here's the list. Take this 2 times a day. Take this 3 times a day. This and that and that. And then you take vitamins on top of it, and you take supplements and all of that. It's just so unhealthy. Our, like, modern medicine is just pumping people full of chemicals. So, yeah. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned. This is the Right View Radio Show.
Thank you, everyone, for coming out tonight. These vaccine passports are driving me insane. Can you believe there are stores that would rather have no customers than... Thank you, everyone, for coming out tonight. These vaccine passports are driving me insane. No customers than to allow someone shop without a vaccine? I went into the store recently to buy a chaise longue. The gene therapy bouncer said, I cannot sell you this unless you show me your vaccine passport. Like he is the only store selling furniture. I can go on OfferUp and just buy one from a regular person for half price. He said he would rather have no customers than to sell me any furniture without my online passport. He said that everyone needs to know everyone's health records now. So I asked him, when was the last time you took Viagra? Did you ever have an irregular period? Whenever someone gets hooked, they go broke. I talked to the manager. He told me it is not his fault. He said they might have to close their business because no one wants to work for them. So I asked him, why would someone want to work for you if you make them wear a scam all day and they need to get a gene therapy to come in the building? He said he can make employees even take a microchip. I told him, well, good luck getting your unemployment. He said, I don't want to die from getting Rona. I told him, don't worry, you will die from the Rona gene therapy. What a rube. You really have to be a stupid if you think you need the same gene therapy every 6 weeks to stop a disease that has a cure rate of 99.9997%. There was a guy that got the Rona vaccine. He died in about 10 hours. The doctor said it could have been much worse if he did not get the gene therapy. How much worse would it be than death? Is the CDC going to arrest you in your next life? Is God going to say, I was going to let you into heaven? But since you did not get the anti-human gene therapy, you have to go see the big guy downstairs? There is a big thing with liberals now. They say there is no such thing as gender. Seriously. They say, I hate gender. How do you hate gender? It is like saying, I hate numbers. All numbers should be the same. These liberals, they think that men can now get pregnant. Yes, it is true. They think Donald Trump just banned men from getting pregnant. But Biden somehow legalized men having babies. These jokers think seriously that eggs somehow can chase down sperm and get them pregnant. Liberals also say there are over 1,000 genders now. My only question about all these new genders being made up as we speak, do these new private parts look like? I just want to see what these other parts look like in case one replaces my junk. On the planet I live on, you either have a hole, or a hole puncher. But the liberals say now if you are comfortable in the private parts you were born with, you are a bad person. Why would you spend your life hating yourself because you were born with or without junk? They call it being cisgender. They think if you have a hole puncher, and are not sad about it, that you are an evil Trump supporter. Like you live on Macho Mountain. Like I spend all day swinging it around. I don't spend my entire day thinking about my epic junk. Okay, I am going to leave it right here. Remember, if a store requires a vaccine passport, a gene therapy, or wear a scam on your face, please go someplace else. Order online. Do not give these companies the satisfaction. If we all stop buying from these tyrants and go someplace else, we can fight this. The more we comply, the more tyranny they will give us. Peace out, my freedom-loving friends.
And we are back. This is the Red View Radio Show. I'm your host, Jumana. Let's switch gears over here. So if you have your Bibles nearby, open on, again, Romans. And let's go Romans 1:24. Oh, let's start from, okay, let's start from Romans 1:20. Okay. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes of eternal power and divinity have been able to be understood and perceived in what he has made. As a result, they have no excuse. For although they knew God, they did not accord him glory as God or give him thanks. Instead, they became vain in their reasoning, and their senseless minds were darkened. While claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the likeness of an image of a mortal man, or of birds, or of four-legged animals, or of snakes. Therefore, God handed them over to impurity through the lusts of their hearts, for the mutual degradation of their bodies. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and revered and worshipped the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Therefore, God handed them over to degrading passions. Their females exchanged natural relations for unnatural, likewise gave up natural relations with females and burned with lusts for one another. Males did shameful things with males and thus received in their own persons the due penalty for their perversity. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God handed them over to their undiscerning mind to do what is improper. They are filled with every form of wickedness, evil, greed, malice, full of envy, murder, rivalry, treachery, and spite. They are gossips and scandal mongers, and they hate God. They are insolent, haughty, boastful, ingenious in their wickedness, and rebellious toward their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know the just decree of God that all who practice such things deserves death, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Doesn't that sound like reading the news? It blows my mind. By the way, the Bible I'm reading from right now, I found it in the library. It was on sale. It's a used Bible. It is, I believe. So this is this is from, okay, so this is a Catholic Bible, It has the Old Testament section, the New Testament. It has a reference. So this is like a study Bible. It comes with like, so one half of the page is split in half. It has half of the page is the Bible verses, and then the half next to it is all like explanation and references and stuff. And it's like study for studying. I don't think there's a big difference in between the Catholic Bible and, let's say, like the KJV, other than just the way the wording is, the terms. But I think it's the same as in all the all of the Bible chapters. The only Bible that I found, I have so many. I bought in Arabic and in English. Every single print you can think of, I went on eBay and I bought. And whenever I go like garage sale or to the library and they have a Bible that's like an old, I always look for the older prints. Because there is not I would did say omissions. It was it's more the verbiage or the wording of the Bible. I like the older like the way languages were spoken. I think it's stronger. So I bought, like I said, in both in Arabic and in English. And then I don't know if you guys heard of the Targum Bible, which is the, it's called the Targum, T-A-R-G-U-M Bible. It is the original. So basically when the Jews left Babylon and they were speaking Assyrian, okay? And so they were not speaking, even though they were Jews, but they did not know Hebrew. So when they came back to Israel or Jerusalem, and they would go to the temple, but they are, you know, praying in Hebrew and they did not understand. So they had to translate it to the Assyrian language, and Aramaic, which is supposedly Jesus spoke Aramaic as well. So to translate, so it was translated from the Hebrew to the Aramaic, and then from there the Hebrew to Greek. So that's like where the translation started. So that, it would blow your mind if I tell you, because it's the Old Testament books only, and it's the Old Testament five books. And let me tell you, the creation story will blow your mind. So supposedly the Targum is translated like by, like, there is no like changing it. Oh, maybe they meant this. And so they, no. It's translated word by word as is. So let me read you an example to let you see how the difference is. This is like, that's the only thing that I would tell you was different. So basically, it's called the Aramaic and Palestinian Targum. And I think it's the original is by Onklios. He's a Greek translator. So let me read you a little bit from the introduction so you would understand more. So the Aramaic and Palestinian versions printed here are acknowledged to be the oldest and most widely used renderings of the ancient translations of the original Hebrew Torah, which is the Old Testament. Targum, meaning translation, references the various languages translations that have come about over the centuries of the original Hebrew Torah. The Aramaic Targum was the first and oldest authorized translation of the Hebrew Pentateuch into another language. Though Wikipedia dates oldest text to the first century CE, my investigation into the reasons they were initially compiled date the earliest manuscripts back to near 515 BCE, with completed construction of the Second Temple. One must understand that the reasons they were brought into being and authorized as translation is because the Hebrew people assimilated Aramaic as their colloquial language during the 70 years exile in Babylon. Once they returned and worship was reinstated in the newly built temple, it was recognized that the translation was necessary in order to appease the lay people who no longer spoke Hebrew. It was during 70 years of the diaspora that the Aramaic became the predominant colloquial language and accepted vernacular of use by the Hebrew people. During this 70 years of assimilation, the Israelites used the Hebrew as lexicon, dwindled from being the primary dialect of the everyday conversation to being one of the most scholastic applications utilized intellectually by the priestly class. So let me read you the first chapter, which is Book of Genesis. Be ready to have your mind blown. At the beginning, min avila, the Lord created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was vacancy and desolation, solitary of the sons of men, and void of every animal, and darkness was upon the face of the abyss. And the Spirit of mercies from before the Lord breathed upon the face of the waters. The Lord created. This is how it says it. In wisdom, the Lord created, and the earth was vacancy and desolation, and solitary of the sons of men, and void in every animal, and the Spirit of mercies from before the Lord breathed upon the face of the waters. So this is the first one is from the Minavila, and then the second one is from the Jerusalem. So like the Palestine and the Aramaic. Okay, so these are like the first two. And the Lord said, let there be light to enlighten above. And at once there was light. And the Lord beheld the light, that it was good. And the Lord divided between the light and the darkness. And the Lord called the light day, and he made it that the inhabitants of the world might labor by it. And the darkness called it night. And he made it in that it is the creatures might have rest. And it was evening and it was morning, the first day. And the Lord said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate between the waters above and the waters beneath. And let there be a separation between the waters above and the waters below. This is the Jerusalem translation. And the Lord made the expanse upbearing fingers. Okay, so here's the detail. And the Lord made the expanse upbearing it with three fingers, between the confines of the heavens and the waters of the ocean, and separated between the waters which were below the expanse and the waters which were above it, in the covering of the expanse. And it was so. So basically, first it was all water, and then God separated the waters above and the waters below. And then he separated the waters below as well, which is the ocean. So space is water, basically. And the Lord called the expanse the heavens, and it was evening and it was morning the second day. And the Lord said, let the lower waters, which remain under the heavens, be gathered together into one place, and the earth be dried, and that the land may be visible. And it was so. And the Lord called the dry land earth, and he placed of the assemblage of waters, he called it the sea. And the Lord saw that it was good. And the Lord said, let the earth increase the grassy herb whose seed seedeth, and the fruit tree making fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth produced grasses and herbage, whose seed seedeth, and the tree making fruit after its kind. And the Lord saw that it was good, and it was evening, or it was morning, the third day. And the Lord said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to distinguish between the day and night, and let them be for signs and for festival times, and for the numbering of them, the account of days, and for the sanctifying of the beginning of the months and the beginning of years, the passing away of months and the passing away of years, the revolutions of the sun, the birth of the moon, and the revolving of seasons. And let them be for luminaries in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And the Lord made two great luminaries, and they were equal in glory 21 years, less 602 and 70 parts of an hour. You know this is not in our, like, let's say, KJV Bible. So I'm going to read that again. If somebody has a pen and a paper ready, write this down, and maybe you can tell me what the formula is here. So, and let them be for luminaries in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And the Lord made two great luminaries, and they are equal in glory, 21 years, less 602 and 70 parts of an hour. Less 602 and 70 parts of an hour. And afterwards, the moon recited against the sun a false report, and she was diminished, and the sun was appointed to be the greater light to rule the day, and the moon to be the inferior light to rule the night, and the stars. And the Lord ordained them unto their offices in the expanse of the heavens to give forth light upon the earth, and to minister the day and by night, to distinguish between the light and the day and the darkness of the night. And the Lord beheld it was good, and it was evening, and it was morning, day the fourth. The lakes of the waters swarm forth the reptile, the living animal, and the fowl which fleeth, whose nest is upon the earth, and let the way of the bird upon the air of the expanse of the heavens. And the Lord created the great tannins. Tannin in Arabic means dragon. So as you know, like, Aramaic is very close to Arabic. Tannin is a dragon. So this word in the newer Bibles or KJV, it's like the great animal, the great whales, or something. Each Bible has like a different word for it, but I have Arabic Bibles that says also the great tannin. The Leviathan. The Leviathan and his yoke fellow, which are prepared for the day of consolation. Do you think this is like dinosaurs? I'm not sure. If you guys like have any clue about it, give me a call. The phone number is 319-527-6208. 319-527-6208. Let me hear your input on this. And the Lord created the great tannins and the Leviathan and his yoke fellow, which are prepared for the day of consolation. And every living animal which creepeth and which the clear water had swarmed forth after their kind, the kinds which are clean and the kinds which are not clean, and every fowl which fleeth with the wings after their kind, and the clean and the unclean. And the Lord beheld that it was good. And he blessed them, saying, increase and multiply, and fill the waters of the sea, and let the fowl multiply upon the earth. And it was evening, and it was morning, day the fifth. And the Lord said, let the soil of the earth bring forth the living creatures according to their kind, the kind that is clean and the kind that is unclean, cattle and the creeping thing, and the creature of the earth according to his kind. And it was so. And the Lord made the beast of the earth after his kind, the clean and the unclean, and the cattle after their kind, and the reptiles of the earth and after its kind, the clean and unclean. And the Lord saw that it was good. And the Lord said to the angels who ministered before him, who had been created on the second day of creation of the world. The Lord said to the angels who ministered before him, who had been created on the second day of the creation of the world, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the fowl which are in the atmosphere of the heaven, and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over the every reptile creeping upon the earth. And the Lord created man in his likeness. And here is the good part. It says here, and the word of the Lord created man in his likeness. In the likeness of the presence of the Lord, he created him. The male and his yoke fellow, he created them. In the image of the Lord, he created him with 248 members, with 365 nerves, and overlaid them with skin, and filled with flesh and blood, male and female in their bodies, he created them. And he blessed them, and the Lord said to them, increase and multiply, and fill the earth with sons and daughters, and prevail over it in its possessions, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the heavens, and over every creeping animal that creepeth upon the earth. And the Lord said, behold, I have given you every herb whose seed seedeth upon the face of the earth, and every unfruitful tree for the need of building and for burning. But to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the heavens, and to every reptile upon the earth in which is the living soul, I have given all green herbs. And it was so. And the Lord beheld everything he had made, and it was good, and it was evening, or it was the morning, the sixth day. So basically, all animals are supposed to eat herbs. Even us, we're supposed to eat just fruit, and then the trees that do not bear fruit, we use it for building and for burning. And the creature of the heavens and the earth and all of the hosts of them were completed. And the Lord had finished by the seventh day the work which he had wrought, and the ten formations which he had created between the suns. And he rested on the seventh day from all his works which he had performed. And the Lord blessed the seventh day more than all the days of the week, sanctified it, because it was in it he rested from all his works which the Lord had created and had willed to make. There are these are the genesis of the heavens and earth when they were created in the day of the Lord God made the earth and the heavens and all the trees of the field not yet in the earth and all the herbs in the field had not yet germinated because the Lord had not made it rain upon the earth. And man was not cultivate the ground. But a cloud of glory descended from the throne of glory and was filled with waters from the oceans and afterward went up from the earth and it gave rain to come down and water all on the face of the ground. And the Lord God created man in two formations and took dust from the place of the house of sanctuary and from the four winds of the world and mixed him from all the waters of the world and created him red, black, and white and breathed into his nostrils the inspiration of life. And there was in the body of Adam the inspiration of a speaking spirit unto the illumination of the eyes and the hearing of the ears. And Adam became a soul of life. I'm going to read that passage again. And the Lord God created man in two formations, and he took dust from the place of the house of the sanctuary and from the four winds of the world and mixed from all the waters of the world. He created him red, black, and white and breathed into his nostrils the inspiration of life. And there was in the body of Adam the inspiration of speaking spirit unto the illumination of the eyes and the hearing of the ears, and Adam became a soul of life. And a garden from Eden for the just was planted by the word of the Lord God before the creation of the world, and he made there to dwell the man he had created him. And the Lord God made to grow from ground every tree that was desirable to behold and good to eat. And the tree of life was in the midst of the garden, whose height was a journey of 500 years. Did you hear that, guys? And the Lord God made to grow from the ground every tree that was desirable to behold and good to eat. And the tree of life in the midst of the garden, whose height was a journey of 500 years, and the tree of whose fruit they who ate would distinguish between good and evil. And a river went forth from Eden to water the garden, and from thence was separated to become four heads of rivers. the four chief rivers. The name of the first is Fishon, that is which compasseth all the land of Hindiki, where there is gold, and the gold in that land is choice. There is a Bedelicha and the precious stones of Brill, and the name of the second river is Kishon, that is in which encompasseth all the land of Cush. I think that's in Africa, actually. And the name of the third river is Diglath, and that is which goeth to the east of Assur. And the fourth river is Pharath. Pharath, I think that's in Iraq. And the Lord God took the man from the mountain of worship, where he had been created, and made him dwell in the Garden of Eden, to do service in the law, and to keep its commandments. And the Lord God commanded Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden, eaten thou mayest eat, but of the tree of whose fruit they who eat become wise to know between the good and evil, thou shalt not eat. For in that day thou eatest, thou wilt be guilty of death. And the Lord God said, it is not right that Adam should be sleeping alone. I will make him unto him a wife who may be a helper before him. And the Lord created from earth. This is a Jerusalem. Okay, so, and the Lord threw a deep slumber upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and it was the 13th rib to the right side, and closed it up with flesh. And the Lord God built a rib which he had taken from Adam into a woman, and he brought her to Adam. And Adam said, this time and not again, a woman is created from man. Thus, because she is created from me, she is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, that is fit to call woman, because from man she was taken. Therefore, a man shall leave and be separate from his house of the bed of his father and of his mother, and shall coincide with his wife, and both of them shall be one flesh. And both of them were wise, Adam and his wife, but they were not faithful in their glory. And the serpent, oh, I'm sorry. Therefore, man shall leave. Okay, so I'm sorry. And they knew not what shame is. And the serpent was wiser unto evil than all the beasts of the field, which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, truth, that the Lord God hath said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, from the rest of the fruits of the trees of the garden we have power to eat. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, the Lord hath said, you shall not eat of it, nor approach it, lest you die. In that hour the serpent spake accusation against his creator. And he said to the woman, dying you will not die, for every artificer hateth the son of his art. For it is manifest before the Lord, that is, in the day that you eat of it, you will be as the great angels, who are wise and know between good and evil. And the woman beheld Samuel. And the woman beheld Samuel, the angel of death, and was afraid. Yet she knew that the tree was good to eat, and that was the medicine for the enlightenment of the eyes, and desirable tree by means of which to understand. And she took of its fruit, and she did eat, and she gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both were enlightened, and they knew that they were naked, divested for of the purple robe in which they had been created. And they saw the sight of their shame, and sewed to themselves leaves of figs, and made them cinctures, and they made them into vestments, in a different translation. And they heard the voice of the word of the Lord of God walking in the garden in the repose of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from before the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, is not all the world which I have made manifest before me, the darkness as the light? And how hast thou thought in thine heart to hide from before me? The place where thou art concealed, do I not see? where are the commandments that I commanded thee? And he said, the voice of thy word heard in the garden, and I was afraid, because I am naked. And the commandments which thou didst teach me, I have transgressed. Therefore I hid myself from shame. And he said, who showed thee that thou art naked? Unless thou hast eaten of the fruit of the tree of which I commanded, thou shouldest not eat. And Adam said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, what hast thou done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me with his subtlety and deceived me with his wickedness. And I ate, and the Lord God brought the tree unto judgment. God brought the tree unto judgment. And he said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, cursed art thou for all the cattle of all the beasts of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and thy feet shall be cut off, and thy skin shall cast away once in 7 years. And the poison of death shall be in thy mouth, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between the seed of thy son and the seed of her son. And it shall be when the sons of the woman keep the commandments of the law, they will be prepared to smite thee upon the head. But when they forsake the commandments of the law, thou wilt will be ready to wound them in their heel. Nevertheless, for them there shall be a medicine, but for thee there will be no medicine. And they shall make a remedy for the heel in the days of the king Messiah. Unto the woman he said, multiplying, I will multiply thy affliction by the blood of thy virginity, and by thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bear children, and to thy husband shall thy desire, and he will have rule over thee unto righteousness or unto sin. But to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the word of thy wife, eaten of the fruit of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, accursed is the ground, in that it did not show thee thy guilt. In labor thou shalt eat of it all of it the days of your life, and thorns and thistles will it put forth and increase on account of thee. And thou shalt eat the herb which is on the face of the field. And Adam answered, I pray through mercies from before thee, O Lord, that we may not be accounted as the cattle of the earth, to eat herb of the face of the field. Let us stand up and labor with the labor of the hands, and eat food of the earth. And thus let there be distinction before thee between the children of men and the offspring of cattle. So basically Adam begged God that he wouldn't put him in the same level as the cattle, right? To eat from the herbs. Basically, it's like he wanted to, like they were supposed to like crawl like animals on all four. So, and Adam called the name of his wife Hava, because she is the mother of all the children of men. And the Lord God made Adam and to his wife vestures of honor from the skin of the serpent. Isn't that interesting? So in some Bibles, it says it's like sheep, right? From the sheep. But here it says, because she is the mother of all the children of men, and the Lord God made to Adam and his wife vestures of honor from the skin of the serpent, which he had cast from him upon the skin of their flesh, instead of that adornment which had been cast away, and he clothed them. And the Lord God said to the angels who ministered before him, behold, Adam is a soul on the earth, as I am soul in heaven. Soul is O-L-E. And it will be that they will rise from him who will know to discern between good and evil. Had he kept the commandments which I appointed to him, he would have lived and subsisted as the tree of life forever. But now because he hath not kept that which I prescribed, it is decreed against him that we keep him from the Garden of Eden. Before he reached forth his hand to take the tree of life, for behold, if he eat thereof, living he will live and sit forever. And the Lord God removed him from the Garden of Eden, and he went to dwell in the Mount Moriah, to cultivate the ground from which he had been created. And he drave out the man from thence where he had made to dwell the glory of his Shekinah, at the first between the two Kerubia. Before he had created the world, he created the law. He prepared the Garden of Eden for the righteous, that they might eat and dwell themselves with the fruit of the tree, because they would have in their lives the doctrine of the law in this world, and have maintained the commandments. But he prepared Jehannam for the wicked, which is like a sharp consuming sword of two edges. In the midst of it, he hath prepared flakes of fire and burning coals for the judgment of the wicked who rebelled in their life against the doctrine of the law. To serve the law is better than the fruit of the tree of life, which the word of the Lord prepared the man in keeping it might continue and walk the path of the way of life in the world to come. Very interesting, right? Here's another part. Adam knew Hava, his wife, who had desired the angel, and she conceived and bare Cain. And she said, I have acquired a man, the angel of the Lord. And she added to bear from her husband Adam, his twin, even Abel. And Abel was a shepherd of the flock. Isn't that interesting? So Adam knew his wife, who had desired the angel, and she conceived and bare Cain. And she said, I have acquired a man, the angel of the Lord. And she added to bear from her husband Adam, his twin. So Cain was a Nephilim. He's a hybrid. And maybe that's why he was able to kill his brother, right? Because in the Old Testament, it said that the giants, which are the Nephilim, the mixed hybrid between the fallen angels and the... the sons of men, God married from the daughters of men, and they bear their children. They're called the Nephilim, or the giants. And those are like the hybrids, right? And they were monsters. So who talks about this the most? Let me tell you. We can read from this later, but I want to stop at this point because I think I mentioned to you guys before that I wanted you to read the Book of Enoch. So the Book of Enoch talks in detail about the Nephilim, about this these fallen angels, and how they were able to mate with human women. So here's what happened in the Book of Enoch. Very interesting too. And I know there's a lot of people that are like, they say because it's not included in the Bible, that it's not right, or maybe it's a forgery or whatever. The details are interesting. Let me tell you. So after Adam and Eve were kicked out of heaven, God put the angels to guard so Adam does not sneak back into the garden and eats from the tree of life and becomes eternal, immortal. So he put these angels to guard. So the guards were watching over humans. They're supposed to keep watch. And then they should, like the prayers or grievances, that they would submit their petitions to the angels, and the angels would go and tell God. So as they watched the women, and the women started, humans started multiplying, and so they saw that the women were beautiful, and they were seduced by the hair of women. So that's why, let's say you have in people before, not just Islam, even like Jews, women usually cover their hair. And the reason why they started covering their hair is because the angels lusted after them because of their hair. And so that's how like the whole hijab or veil thing is to cover. So they decided, I think there's like 100 and something of them. Okay, we're going to go and we're going to get us wives. These are the angels, the guards, okay? So the main angel, his name is Azazel, which is very close to Azrael, which is the devil's name in Arabic, right? Like Lucifer, but they have Azrael, which is Azazel in the book of Enoch. So he said, okay, are we going to do this? You guys need to swear that you're not going to let me just go do this by myself, and then I'm going to be in trouble by myself. So they all went down to Mount Hermon, and they had a deal. They swore to keep, you know, that they would do this. They were just going to, you know, go and get wives. And they did. And so how does that work? I don't know. But we know that angels took forms of humans before, right? Like when they appeared to Abraham, when they went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they told, you know, like they were there. And remember, so in that story, in Sodom and Gomorrah, the people there, they said that they were like Sodomites or whatever. They were actually trying to sleep with the angels. So they knew what was up. So I more think that it's not just about like homosexuality. I think it's more about... it's the hybrid, like it's the hybrid between angel and human, the Nephilim. And same with Noah. Same with Noah. I think God made Noah to get rid of the Nephilim. He wanted to get rid of because they were evil. And it describes in detail in the book of Enoch why these hybrids were so dangerous. Because so these after they were giant in size. First, they ate everything that humans grew, cattle, and then they started eating the humans. So the people screamed up like, oh God, help us, help us. And so the angels heard men were crying about these Nephilim. And that's when God decided to flood the earth to get rid of the giants. But here's the thing. And it says there was, after the flood, there was also giants. How did they come back? Where did they come from? Because we know Noah was pure blood. His sons were pure blood. But the wives of Noah's kids they had Nephilim blood in them. They were hybrid, and that's how they were back again after the flood. And so throughout like history, it is really, really it's kind of like you cannot in our human mind imagine that would happen. But in other religions, for example, you have in Islam, they talk about the jinn, right? Like the jinn, they say like they dwell underground. It's a whole other species, other creation. They dwell in like underground or like deserted places. And there's Muslims of them, there's Christians, there's atheists, all kinds of like religions. They have wives and children of their own. But they have this thing where the women of that jinn can mate with men. So they would go at night and they would like rape the men, for example. And so, and they marry them. Sometimes it's called mkhawi, which means like married from a spirit from the other side. It's weird, but they do believe that. And I don't know if it's a myth or it's, but I'm sure there's a lot of things we don't know about, especially when it comes to these things. I mean, like the Smithsonian, they hid all the giant bones, all of that. But, you know, we have documentation of finding giant skulls and giant bones. And even in the Indian culture, it was written like that, these beasts, they would run with the buffalo and they would grab the buffalo with one hand and eat it, right? So you can imagine the size of that being. And so, and we know, of course, from David that he was a giant. And so there is, you know, truth to that. So, but how far does it go? God knows. But, you know, we know the spiritual side exists as well. We know evil spirits exist. So it is not far-fetched, I would say, for the believers, because we know Jesus casted so many demons out of people. And so that's another thing, I think, that there's fallen angels and there's demons, right? The fallen angels were just God's creation. They were the first creation. And the demons, I believe, they are the, let's say that the souls of the giants, like the poltergeist, I would think the Nephilim, the hybrids, their souls is the that's where the demons come from. And then you have the fallen angels. So that's because there's also ranks between, just like in the angels, there's ranks, and there's ranks in the demons as well. And so in the book of Enoch, then he, so the fallen angels, after they did whatever they did, by the way, it tells as this, it says that the fallen angels, they taught men how to do armor and make weapons. They told the women, they taught the women how to do abortions, how to do makeup, and how to do cast spells with herbs and stuff. So they taught men and women the worst things that you, they shouldn't, like, they, we shouldn't have known these things, but these fallen angels taught, because they knew some secrets, right? So finally, they felt that, you know, now they have fallen from the grace of God, and so they feel like a little bit of shame and regret. So they go and they hear about Enoch, that he's very close to God. So they go to him and they summon him to come up to the mountain, and they tell him, please ask God to let us back into heaven. Like, we're sorry, basically. And so he says, okay, I will do whatever I can. And I guess he goes to the side and he prays, and then he gets a vision of him going up to earth. And he describes it as, you know, how like when you see in the Star Trek movie and they're going through the like a black hole, and then they're, like, they're going super fast, and then the stars are shooting. Like they're passing like through a wormhole or whatever. That's how he describes going to heaven. And then when he reached there and he saw a huge castle made out of like crystals and stuff. And then there was a bigger castle. So he walks there, but it's, the walls were made out of flame. And so when he walked in, he said it was hot as fire and cold as ice at the same time. His body could not, like he could not get used to the weird temperatures, so he passed out and he fell. And then he raised his head a little bit. This is how he describes it. And then he saw the foot of God's throne, and it was so bright, and there was flames all around it. He's so scared, he started trembling. And so God turned and he says, Enoch, stand up. You know, you're a good man. You're righteous. You've done righteous things. Don't be afraid of me. And he couldn't look at him because it was so bright. He kept his head down, but he couldn't even stand up. His body was so weak. So the angels came and they held him up to stand on his feet, but he couldn't look up. He kept on looking at like the foot of the throne. And he told him, what brings you here? And he told him, the angels have sent me here to petition for your forgiveness. And then God turned to him and said, so I make the angels immortal, and they're supposed to watch over the people so they can hear their grievances, and they come and petition them to me. They flipped it. So now they send a man to do the job they're supposed to do. Let me tell you, Enoch, you go and tell them right now. See, he knew what Enoch was going to say before he said anything. Go tell them there will be no forgiveness for you. I am going to slaughter all of your offspring in front of you. For man, even though they tricked them, but they will still have mercy from me. But them, the fallen angels, there is no mercy. And he told Michael, the archangel, to go and grab Azazel and tie him up from his arm and leg and throw him underground and throw jagged rocks above him, until the day he is to be released. So that's basically, that's like the first like two chapters from the book of Enoch. It's so interesting. I honestly don't understand why it's not included, because it's obviously the storyline with the Old Testament, it does line up. But as the details, maybe it's too much for human consumption. I don't know. It's, to me, I think it's legit. That's my opinion. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. This is the Right View Radio Show. Stay tuned.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets, and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
We are heartfelt.
We speak from the heart.
We are open.
We don't hold back.
We are positivity,
prosperity,
and preparation.
We're endeavoring to empower.
We are hope.
So get off your aspirations and join us on Hope Radio with CC
and Trevor. Tuesdays, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific.
Join the
crew.
Hey everybody, this is CC. You know, we at Hope Radio promise to do this thing together. So we will find a way to greater prosperity, greater health, greater purpose, and greater hope.
Join us, Hope Radio with CC on Freedomizer Radio.
And welcome back to the Right View Radio Show. This is your host, Jumana. Again, call-in number is 319-527-6208, 319-527-6208. I'm going to play some sound clips for you guys. These are videos from TikTok that I kept, very interesting stuff that you don't see on, like, the main platforms like YouTube, or they don't allow stuff to be on the platform. So TikTok sometimes censors, but it's so far it's been less... it's been easier to post stuff on it than on YouTube. So let me play a couple of sound bites for you.
You're a fucking senile, demented pedophile. When you fucking win the election and push this motherfucker through to the other side, literally fucking up everything. 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 This motherfucker has fucked up everything. We are fucking 13 dead Marines because this motherfucker didn't know how to do his fucking job. It makes me fucking sick to my stomach. It makes me sick. I'm a child of a fucking veteran. I've been to the VA hospital. I've brought AA meetings there. I've changed my father to get sober. I know how they fucking treat the people who serve this fucking country. I believe them. Believe these motherfucking terrorists. These people who scream death to America with billions of dollars of out fucking weapons so they can turn around and use this shit to kill innocent people who are just trying to help these fucking assholes out. It's disgusting and it makes me fucking sick. Joe Biden doesn't need to be impeached. This motherfucker needs to be court-martialed. I'm so fucking sick of this shit. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the song about families. Today, may we all be reminded that every fucking life is precious. Each single one of us, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You can lose the most important person to you just by walking out and stepping into traffic. So this one's going out to all the fucking people who lost their fucking lives this week because of a sloppy, old, child-stripping piece of shit who deserves to be 6 feet in the fucking ground.
And that was heavy metal singer Tommy Vexed. Pretty. You can tell he's pretty upset. Here's another guy.
There are a few three teachers, that's evil. The little innocent children sitting here that I see, I look at their faces. They are pure innocence, pure love. And these evil people are putting stuff into them. Okay, this has got to stop. And all of you people out there, you're bad. Ex-military, ex-law enforcement, current law enforcement, I'm ex-law enforcement. You need to be on the front line every day. You can sacrifice your child. There's no reason alive. You're 17. You stop the United States. Okay? Everybody, your neighbors need to be here. Your relatives, everybody. There is no excuse for communism on American soil. Correct. We need federal investigation 273 subsection D. Okay? It's emotional damage. It's psychological damage. Look at the penal code. Federal, state, international law, all of it. I got 3,000
that was apparent at the school board meeting. Okay, the next one.
Can someone explain to me?
Okay.
Here's a life bonus. Every single time they claim that it's in the best interest of all of us. You sit here claiming, Vivian, that you have the best interest of our children at heart. You sit here claiming that you're doing what's best for our children's health, what's best for human interests. What's best for human interests will and always be allowing humans to have their own personal freedom of choice without someone forcing their own will or their own fears on us. Yet again, you're starting segregation based off of your own fears and your own personal interests. The people in this country have had enough, and we are fighting back. I have something to give you. Security, would you do me a favor? Would you please hand those forms to the board members, never starting with Jara? You have been officially served a $200 million lawsuit with six complaints and violations of multiple amendments. Your job is not to be concerned with the children's health. You're not nurses. You're not doctors. You are not responsible for their health organization. Your only focus is on our children's education. And the education system here is 50th in the state. And you make almost more money than anybody else. It is very clear that you have failed in doing that job. This country is not alone. It's time that we wake up, and we're going to do lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. You can throw it out as much as you want, but we're going to keep this paperwork on your desk and keep a problem going until we get exactly what we want. This is not a negotiation. We will have our freedom of choice, and we're going to see you in court.
Your life is disgusting!
So this parent sued them for $200 million. Isn't it beautiful? Oh, my God, he's amazing. That made my day. He is amazing. He, like, literally just served in the paperwork. Here's one more clip. Oh, I'm sorry. What is it? Right here.
Ever again, because this right here is what happens to her. Do you think you know medicine was right for my child, which you do not? She got staph infection, and not because her mask was dirty, but because that's what happens when you force a child to breathe in her itch, her air that she's supposed to exhale. This is wrong. You guys do not medically have any medical doctors up here to tell you what's right and what's wrong for each parent. Each parent, each child is different. You have no idea what our medical advices are. And I want to say one more
thing. Thank you, Kimberly.
There's more unmasked people in here than there are masked, and only masked people come when there's so many.
There's a lot of families standing up, a lot of people, which I'm very, very proud of. I also wanted to, I'm sure you all heard of the mayor who threatened the board also to resign. That was awesome. That was awesome. I don't know if they resigned or not, but hopefully they will. Let's see. I actually also, I'm going to play you a video. Let me play this part first.
Spirit of Antichrist, which is already now in the world. Now, several people referred to my earlier coronavirus sermon as a conspiracy theory. However, the technical definition of a conspiracy is a secret plan. And in the past, the globalist billionaires did gather in secret in various, you know, resorts around the world. But now they're so bold as to publish what they're planning to do online. So if you want to check on that, you can go to the United Nations website and look up the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. And there you will find their master plan to unite humanity into a perfect new world order. And they include the exciting news that this one world order will become our new normal in less than 10 years in the year 2030. Now, when I say Antichrist, I'm not talking about some villain in a horror movie. Anti is actually the Greek prefix that means to be against, to be an adversary, to be opposed. So the Antichrist is a person who will appear as a world ruler in the end times who will be empowered by Satan, who will work against Christ. He will be an adversary of Christ, and he will stand in opposition to Jesus Christ. But long before this real Antichrist appears on the scene, the Apostle John says there will be a spirit of Antichrist, which will pervade the world and prepare the way for him. That spirit of Antichrist is at work in the world today, and it's not some secret conspiracy theory. There's actual plan. The plan is in print. You can read it for yourself. As I said earlier, go to the United Nations and look up 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. It's a 40-page document filled with a wonderfully sounding description of a perfect utopian plan for all humanity. This document includes 92 paragraphs with 17 sustainable goals and 169 targets. Paragraph 50 of that document warns us that we may be the last generation to have a chance of saving the planet if we don't get this done by 2030, which is probably the source of the statement made by Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York, who said in 2019, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change.
And that's what I was talking about earlier. It's all in the UN agenda. We have a caller. Let's take in this call. And 323, you are on the air.
Okay. My name's Joe. And the other caller or the host was talking about Agenda 30. Now, the problem with referring to documents like Lockstep, Crimson Rage, and Agenda 30 is that they're written in such a way that anybody who reads them, especially if you're a liberal, will not think of them as a blueprint for globalism. So the people who do describe it as a blueprint for globalism has to say that the meaning isn't what it's what it seems to be. And in covert fashion, what the real meaning is the taking over of the world. Now, see, I'm an Alex Jones fan, and that's the mistake he makes. He always says, look it up for yourself, do your own research, take a look at Lockstep, take a look at SARS, take a look at Agenda 30. But he doesn't go on to say that you have to extrapolate from what you read, because I've also read articles defending these particular documents, and those liberal articles make a better case that these particular white papers are for the benefit of humanity rather than the destruction of humanity. So I just wanted to say that, so that when people do describe what's going on,
especially in the face of COVID,
because COVID and the vaccine are very, very obvious slaps in our face. They're very, very obvious methodologies to destroy the world. But the people who do not do their research and who don't want to do their research, who don't want to go to the VAERS website, for example, they don't know that the deaths caused by the vaccine are a pure example of what's happening or what will happen to the future of the world. So that's what I wanted to add in.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think going to take if there is a possibility to change the course that we're on right now?
Good question. It for a lot of people, it will take nothing. Now, because there are people who have taken the vaccine. For example, there have been some fathers who have daughters who are nurses in the front line, and those daughters have told these particular fathers, don't take the vaccine, Daddy. They took the vaccine, they got sick, and they went back for a second shot.
Right.
You can have people who will be evicted, who will have the gendarme knock on their doors, drag them away to quarantine camps, and they will think that the government is right. Yet, they are the victim of the government, but they will think, well, that's an unfortunate price that one has to pay for the common good. There are a lot of people who will not be waking up, even if there's a bayonet to their neck. So I don't know what percentage that is, but I'm hoping it's rather small. But even so, those are the kind of people that I feel sorry for them. It's not their fault. Brainwashing has really done a number on them, and that's the purpose of brainwashing, to keep them in the matrix. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Like I've seen, for example, it looks like they're making Australia the example to be followed, right? So all these, you have thousands of people protesting in the streets. Now they're taking, the police is going even further in their mistreatment of people there, the peaceful protesters, and they're shooting rubber bullets at them. So I'm expecting them to be shooting with real bullets soon. So protesting doesn't seem to be changing the course of what their government is moving on. So what can they do, for example? What is it there? Should they, like, I know that unarmed, but is there a hope for Australia?
Well, it kind of, gave me a little bit of hope for Australia when they had the yellow with the orange vests. The truck is there in Australia. They're having their particular strike. A few of them have gotten their heads broken in, but if anybody's going to stand up and really be the center for noncompliance, it would be truckers, longshoremen, dock workers, the people in tough professions who don't like being pushed around. So I'm glad for the truckers that they're doing it. Then again, for the who really think that the government is there to defend them and really is defending them, they will think of the truckers as only being insurgents without a cause. That's unfortunate. Even there are some people. There are some people, even if they hear a Project Veritas recording of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris chuckling and laughing and plotting the destruction of America, they will not believe it. And even if they do believe it, they will somehow give them a pass because they are the president, they're the vice president, they're there to help us. Something is wrong. Poor Joe, he's demented. That's the reason why he did it. There's just some people like that. Hopefully,
right.
Again, there aren't that many people, but
right.
There are. I don't know. What's your perception? How many people do you think? And what would it take for them to be awakened?
At first, I was in my fight through the year and a half. I was hoping to save everybody, but at this point, I don't think we can save everybody. I think it will have to get really ugly before we can like have some success. It's going to get bloody because through elections, we seem that we are unable to remove these tyrants, right? Like what happened in California's recall. And then you have cheating and fraud.
Right.
So Trudeau won the election again, and I'm sure Canadians didn't vote for him, but he's placed there again. And so democracy mm-hmm. seems to be gone. We don't have fair elections. We don't have none of that. They're placing whoever they want to place, and they're not going anywhere. So now what other solution do we have? Because you take them to the court, that takes years and years to accomplish something. And the courts, usually, they're all also
right.
corrupt just as much as the rest of the politicians. So it's going to have to go back to old-fashioned way. We're going to have fights, like real fights. And that's what I don't want, honestly. Nobody wants, you know, bloody war or civil war or anything. But what is the future bringing to us? We know the plan, and it's terrifying. I don't want my children to be enslaved to a tyrannical system. I want to live the freedoms I enjoyed. So, and that's what I keep saying. This is the hill I'm willing to die on. And I know there's a lot of people that have my stance as well. They are pushing us into a corner. And the more they push us, the more our anger is building up. And I don't know if they are already considering that we are going to lash out one day, and we're going to reach a breaking point, or I don't know what to tell you, but I know a lot of people are ready to take the fight. And so I don't want to say this seems to be the only way to go, but for now, that's all I can see.
Right. Well, it'll take a little resistance. It will take people with guns.
I don't want to say this seems to be the only way to go, but for now,
It's like what Jefferson had said, the blood of tyrants, the tree of tyrants has to be watered every now and then with blood of, either the tree of liberty has to be watered with the blood of tyrants, or the tree of tyrants has to be watered with the blood of freedom. Freedom
of liberty.
Freedom fighters.
Right.
But in either case, I'm hoping it doesn't come down to resistance. Even though we have more guns than the government has everything organized. We have supposedly 300.
Right.
Yeah, they have the guns. They got the planes. They have all the technology at their disposal. And what we have would be a lot of liberty-minded people who will be glad to fight. And as you said, find that hill to die on, and they will die. They will, because no, who's going to use ammunition now last?
Right.
So what I think would win would be if, for some inexplicable reason, millions of Americans stood up, rose up, and then charged the gates like they did back during the French Revolution. But if that doesn't happen, If the millions don't do it, then the government has time on their side. They will slowly wipe you out. They will send you to quarantine camps. They will also cut off your checking account and savings account. You'll have a cashless society, and you'll have a Mad Max situation. If that happens, then I think the globalists win. Just as simple and as pitiful as that. They have everything on their side. And I do not expect God to swoop down in a metaphysical manner to rescue us. Because I'm not a believer in God. That's why. Other people who are churchgoers probably think that God will. If that's the case, I'll be glad to see God. I'm not expecting.
Right. Yeah, no, God left us to take on our fights as well. We're supposed to fight for to keep his law, to keep fighting the tyranny, the corruption, all of that. This is our fight. I mean, the first, Jesus was considered very rebellious. They actually executed him because he was a rebellion. He went against the synagogue. He went against the Romans. Right.
Yeah.
So
right.
He was rebellious, and he paid the price with his blood, obviously. And so... this is the course of history. Every single, I always say nobody lived to see the freedom they fought for. It's the next generation that get to enjoy it, right? And
yeah,
lose
probably.
It.
Yeah, like Benjamin Franklin said, it's a republic, ma'am, if you can keep it. Because somebody asked, a woman asked him, government do we have? And he said, it's a republic, if you can keep it. And somebody else, one of the other founding fathers said that a government, you wouldn't need, if men were angels, you wouldn't need government. You know, the thing is, men and women are not angels, so we do need some sort of government to be there to administer justice. But as you had said just a few minutes ago, the judges are as corrupt as the politicians. So once you have the politicians and the judges corrupt in such a prolific manner, and taking money from the lobbyists, this is the age in which we either stand up in some way and maintain our republic and save the world, or we all of us die. In the next 10 years, we're either dead or we're going to overthrow the tyrants, maybe even in the next 5 years.
Yeah. I agree. And I'm looking at the bright side because I see – people waking up in droves. I'm very proud of the Europeans. With Australians, they're fighting back. I saw people finally in New York. They're protesting, which is a good thing to see as well. I was waiting for them to start, saying no. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
People like Governor DeSantis
is
doing a great job too.
Oh yeah, yeah. It has to happen in the larger cities first, like New York, Los Angeles, Detroit, so that the example can't be set for the rest of Americans. It could happen in Padunk, but that would be covered over very, very quickly by the mainstream media. I'd like to know how do people sell their souls so easily just to be an anchor man or an anchor woman on a TV station? Or even to be a politician, to sell America the way that they have these many years for a few million dollars, to be sure. But how can you do that? How can you just be so vapid and vacuous and so soulless that you can do something like that? I mean, you've taken advantage of what America has to offer. You have risen. You have become an achiever. You become a politician or a doctor or a lawyer or a businessman. And you're still willing to sell America down the river. I'd like somebody to answer that question for me.
Yeah, I always think the same way like you. Even our own American corporations, they sold out. They sold out to the enemies. I think that's why I always say good people don't want to run for politics, right? Or good people need to run for public offices. Yeah, good people don't want to sell their soul to the devil, basically. That's why they stay away from politics.
Yeah.
And it's true. It's just it's a sad thing to see. And I think there has to be term limits for politicians because the longer they stay, the more corrupt they become. So nobody should serve more than 4 years. Just keep rotating them, right? I'm all for term limits.
Yeah. I'm not. I don't think that would be the solution, because 6 years for a senator, you can do a lot of damage at that time. And it's not. Are you familiar with the comedy of George Carlin?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, big fan of him.
Okay. All right. Then you might remember a skit that he did of the bullshit of religion and politics. One particular part of his skit, of his particular comedy, was he was the Mark Twain of today. And he said that there's a big club out there and we're not in it. But he also made a very, very poignant point in which he said, the politicians come from our neighborhoods, they come from our schools, they come from our factories, they come from your mother, your father, your universities, our schools. And he said, the politicians basically are from the public. And then he mentioned something which was very, very poignant. He said, if Americans were good, and if the politicians were just a separate entity, if they were the only evil ones, then where are the honest people, the good people, to rush, if you remember that part, to the aid of other Americans? And he had a very, very good point. I think I think good people may at times run for politics, they get elected, and then they become corrupt because they take bribes. They don't want to give up their seat of power, and so even if they were so quote unquote good when they entered politics, after a while, they're still there being bad people. I don't think term limits would be the answer, because we would just elect the same genre of scum that we just got out.
Yeah. That's true. That's actually very true. I believe in small government too,
I'm a libertarian.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't care. I just want them to guard the border and defend from foreign enemies. They can't even do that, so they fail on every level.
Oh yeah, that should be the major thrust of government. Would be to guard the borders, guard us from domestic and terrorists from without. But they don't just do that. They always have to stick their noses in everybody's business, don't they? They always have to try to rule us, have to govern us, always have to pass laws. There's 6 million laws on the books. Why do we need so many laws? We need a very small government, and let Americans rule our own lives our own way, just as long as we don't encroach upon the rights of other people. It's a very simple concept.
I agree.
But,
We lost the Republic. We did. We lost the Republic.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm going to let you get back to your show. I'll just put myself on mute, and you can get another caller in here if you want.
And thank you so much for calling. Appreciate you. Thank you for calling.
Sure.
And thank you so much for the caller. Very insightful. Very great conversation. So basically, yes, like he said, when you read these agendas, the UN agendas, they do come with good verbiage. Oh, sustainable development, they like embellish them with these good terms, right? But in fact, if you really dissect them, there is nothing good about them. And they have the plan so detailed, it trickles down to like the local cities. So down to like, let's say you're a small city, here's how you're going to do the zoning. Here's, you're going to block the forest. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. So yeah, like I said, what shocked me was from the audiobook that I'm reading was that John Podesta is behind this agenda, especially for America, wherever America stands. And I love that President Trump resisted this, but he left, and now look at, we're back in on it. Biden right away signed in for the Paris Agreement, and here we go now in the UN talking about his Build Back Better plan, this Build Back Better, all of them, all of the European, the Canadian, they're all talking about Build Back Better. All of a sudden, from the midst of COVID, they all want to build back better. because there is no back to the new normal, according to them, or according to the plan. There is no going back. They want to transfer us like that. See, usually you would think they would take, like, ease people into changing the way of life, but they take advantage of this COVID thing or this pandemic in order to switch us overnight like that. They want to, like, just break. This is a breaking of our social norms, of our old lifestyles. They do not want us at all to go back to normal. That's why they keep us on unemployment for this long. They keep printing money out, printing these trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, right? Like, there's no end to it. And it's not like these trillions of dollars are going to be spent in the U.S., to giving this money, more than half of it to the world, and the other quarter they would keep in their pockets, and then it's just madness. They are robbing us blind. They're robbing this country. These politicians are so corrupt, whether you're on the left or the right or the middle. You don't even have a political affiliation. You need to see this government and all the governments right now, all over the world. They're so corrupt. They don't care about the wealth or health or the betterment of their society, nothing, nothing. They don't care. They sold us out a long time ago. They are after our children. They want to jab them. They want to mask them. They don't care. You know, the amount of trauma that is left on our kids this past year and a half is going to be for with them for years and years to come. My kids had a hard time going back to school. In the first 2 weeks, oh, my God, my kids were afraid to be around other kids. Imagine in some schools they had tracking on them. I get an email, actually, from my son's school 2 days ago that there was somebody, a kid that had COVID-19, but it's a low-risk alert. So everybody got this alert email with a huge font. We had a COVID case, but the low risk of transmission is low. So don't freak out, parents, but we had to tell you that there was a case and he's being quarantined at home. I'm like, oh, my God. It's madness. It's madness. And then, so, yeah, there has to, I think the only thing that would probably give us hope to change this derailing train without bloodshed is mass non-compliance and mass resistance. Just don't agree on things. They just don't comply. Simple. They're going to force a company with 100 employees to go first. Sorry, I'm not going to force my employees to get jabbed because I don't want to be reliable for their illness if they get an adverse effect. I'm not going to, if they sue me, sorry. If you as the government, you're forcing me to force them, you're going to be responsible. Somebody needs to be responsible. I'm, as a company, I cannot afford to pay millions for my employees. If 10 of them got sick, their bills is going to be enormous, right? If they got something, adverse reaction from the vaccine, I cannot force it. And that's what I keep telling people. If your employer is forcing you, say, who's going to be responsible for my medical bills and for my death to compensate my family? If you're not going to do it, the government's not going to do it, the pharmaceutical company's not doing it. Well, guess what? I'm not going to do it. And every single employee in that company should band together and say, no, what are you going to do? You're going to fire all of us? Good luck. Your business is gone. So here's going to be. It's going to be somebody's going to be putting pressure on somebody. They're going to push from this side. We're going to push from this side. And let's see who wins. We outnumber them. We can win easily. It's just we need to stop falling for the propaganda and for the division and understand that somebody like Maxine Waters goes up on TV and they give her a platform, that crazy nut job. She says, oh, Border Patrol, they're whipping the Haitians, whipping them. How did they get there, Miss Maxine Waters? Did you even care about that, whipping them? She's lying, too, on top of it, because I saw the footage. They were not whipping them. And they are exempt from medical testing and from vaccines and from masks. Of course, we give them a special status. You break the law by entering, so you're already a criminal entering to this country. And we're going to reward you for your criminality by exempting you from whatever we're forcing on the American people. These people should have no shame. They could care less. They have no shame. and they are after you and after your kids. Mass resistance, mass non-comply. We just don't comply. And like the caller said, like Joe said, the truckers, so the people that run the supply lines, like the truckers in Australia, when they went on a strike, that hurts the government a lot more than you think. And so when the sectors like the truckers, the builders, the dock workers, like those get like hindered, governments freak out. And so they will have to change their decision, because that's it for them. And so for them to like exempt the postal workers, for example, it's look how they don't even hide their intentions anymore. Of course they want to do the mail-in ballots, and if they displease the postal workers, who's going to deliver the mail ballots? Democrats are so slimy. Not that the Republicans are better, but the Democrats are just slimy on a very like obvious level. They reach championship level with their sliminess, and the propaganda is just disgusting, especially with the mainstream media behind them. Ugh. And it's funny how they never show on TV the mass protests that's happening across Europe and Australia. They don't show it. They don't show the footage. They don't talk about it because they don't want you to encourage. They don't want you to think there's actually people that are saying no. They want you to think that the whole world is going along. They want to keep you in the dark. So you just don't know. Ignorance is bliss, right? That's how they want people to know. So unless you are looking at a platform that are outside the main ones, social media, I'm talking about like stuff like Odyssey, BitChute, if you are not on those and watching what's happening, you will never know what's going on. You will never know. So you must see, like when I spoke to my family in Jordan and I told them there's so many protests, are you guys not seeing? They're like, no. I said, yeah, why you guys, everybody in Jordan was like complying. They vaccinated over 80% of the country, and it's by force. It wasn't even like forced. If you have to September 8th, I think it was, to be fully vaccinated, otherwise you're going to be fired. You're going to lose your health insurance, your registration. You cannot get a loan. You cannot get a credit card, nothing. It was like wasn't coercion. It was like by force. And so the whole country, they did not even need to do that because people were so propagandized and afraid, they were lining up for the vaccine before it even reached the country. That's how sad it is. And they're looking forward, most people over there, they're looking forward for the booster shot. So, I mean, I told them, you guys are not seeing the resistance, there's mass resistance. What are you guys doing? So half of my family took it, and the other half is still resisting, thankfully. Not everybody fell. And thanks to me, I'm to blame for the vaccinated. I'm the one that ruined the rest. I ruined their careers. I ruined their lives because I'm teaching them to say no. So I am the reason why they're going to lose their jobs now and whatever, which is something I'm proud of, because do not comply to tyranny. No, sir. No, ma'am. So, yeah, I know I've spoken before about this. We have about 30 minutes left. I think the speech is about that time. So I'm going to play the lawyer, Dr. Rainer Filnick. He is the German-American lawyer who is suing in the international court, the WHO, the CDC, the NIH. He's taking all of these comebacks to court, to the international court, on the basis that the PCR test is faulty. It cannot measure. So through that, he said, I'm going to break down the whole house of cards. He's got about 1,000 lawyers and doctors with him on the team. So basically, when the whole lockdown hit, he was here in California. And so he went back to Germany, and he right away, he knew something was wrong instinctively. And he started gathering the attorneys that have the guts to go up with him to take down this whole house of cards. So I'm going to play his latest update on what happened with the court filing and the whole nine. And hopefully we will see people like Dr. Fauci and like all of the scumbags get subpoenaed and then get ordered to appear in court. And we're going to have like Nuremberg 2.0. And so let me play the video. He's amazing. God bless him. He is nonstop fighting too. I've seen so many interviews with him. He got all kinds of professionals and doctors and professors, and he took opinions from everybody. He heard everybody's side in order to include it in his case. So he did not leave a stone unturned. So let's go ahead and play it for you guys. This is Dr. Rainer Filmick. So if you guys want to look him up, his name is spelled as R-E-I-N-E-R, Filmick, F-U-E-L-L, as light, M-I-C-H.
About the results of the investigations of the Berlin Corona Committee to date. I've been working together with my colleagues in my firm as a trial lawyer for 27 years. I'm licensed to practice law in Germany and in California. Until COVID emerged, we exclusively represented consumers and small and medium-sized businesses against global criminal corporations such as Deutsche Bank, VW, and Kuhn & Nagel, the world's largest freight carrier. That changed after a virus previously labeled harmless was suddenly declared the cause of a global pandemic in March of 2020, and the world was suppressed with lockdown, social distancing, and mask mandates, as well as mass PCR testing and so-called vaccinations for perfectly healthy people. No coherent explanation was ever given for this sudden change of opinion from "don't worry, this is a harmless virus" to "this is a very dangerous virus, many people will die." Instead, the governments and the mainstream media deliberately spread panic. There are several leaked internal documents of the ministries of the interior in various countries that prove this targeted fear-mongering. This was done by a worldwide lockstep approach of continuously blasting out the alleged danger of the alleged new virus via the mainstream media. In order to make this horror story credible, it was emphasized with horrific images from Bergamo, Italy, and New York, among other places. This was to suggest to everyone that there was every reason to panic. Very strange, as one would expect a real government to try and keep the population calm if there really was an emergency. In the meantime, we have come to understand that at least until the beginning of the rollout of the so-called vaccines, there was no excess mortality anywhere. The horrific images were partly staged and partly based on gross medical malpractice. In the face of this chaotic situation, which occurred literally overnight, as if on command, our colleague Viviana Fischer and I, together with two other lawyers, founded the Corona Investigative Committee in Berlin on July 10, 2020. We did this in order to get answers to the questions to which our federal government, for reasons unknown to us at the time, was not prepared to provide answers. Above all, we wanted to know, how dangerous is the virus really? How reliable is the PCR test developed by the German Professor Drosten and recommended worldwide by the WHO for detecting infections? And how much damage are the COVID measures, the anti-COVID measures causing economically and to people's health? Let me first summarize the outcome of the Corona Committee's work to date. July 10, 2020, we have consulted with about 150 distinguished scientists and experts from all around the world and from all areas of science, including health, law, economy, psychology, and psychiatry, on these questions: how dangerous is the virus, how reliable is the PCR test, and how much harm is caused by the anti-corona measures. Among these experts are Dr. Mike Yeadon, former vice president of Pfizer, Professor Luc Montagnier, Nobel laureate from France, Catherine Austin Fitz, investment banker and former deputy minister of the U.S., and also, most recently, politicians such as Sue Frost, member of the Board of Supervisors of Sacramento County in California. Now, if someone had told me a year and a half ago that the outcome of the Corona Committee's work to date would be this, I would have told them to take their pills and see their doctor. But our hearings proved the following results beyond a reasonable doubt. One, the COVID measures were never about health. We don't have a pandemic. We have a virus circulating that any intact human immune system can fight just as well as the flu. And this is true whether the virus occurred naturally or was created in a lab. Apart from that, there are very good alternative methods of treatment to prevent or treat this disease, such as vitamin C and D, zinc, possibly ivermectin and others. Two, our governments, at least almost all European governments, as well as that of the U.S., are not acting in the best interest of their people, but are largely under the control of the backers of the global corporations and NGOs, which are summarized by Catherine Austin Fitz as Mr. Global. This is also the term that I will be using here when I refer to those who are pulling the strings behind the scenes. How did we come to this conclusion? Well, before COVID, each of us had their own sometimes strange encounters which made us wonder if something isn't quite right, but we couldn't really put our fingers on what it was exactly. Long before COVID came on the scene, my colleagues in my firm and I had a clear sense in our work time and again that something was wrong in the German courts of law. Global corporations such as Deutsche Bank, VW, and Kuhne & Nagel seem to be above the law in the German courts because, for example, Deutsche Bank, one of the most criminal organizations in the world, is regarded by politicians as systemically important and thus de facto given special protection in the courts of law as well. VW gets special protection simply because they are the largest employer in the German state of Lower Saxony. Our suspicion that the German judiciary is so heavily influenced by politics that it is no longer capable of applying the applicable law to such corporations and uncovering their fraudulent activities turned out to have a real basis. The German phrase, they hang the small fry, but they let the big fish go because they're supposedly too big to fail, is reality. Based on the behavior of the German judiciary in the COVID cases, it is now clear beyond any doubt to us that this is indeed the case. German judges would decide the cases before them not in line with the COVID panic agenda of the government, but on the basis of the applicable law, are not only put under pressure behind the scenes. Rather, this is now done openly with the arbitrary, brutal methods of an anti-democratic, even totalitarian regime. This is obviously done to send a message to the judiciary as a whole so as to prevent them from applying the applicable law and thus questioning the government line. The dramatic example of a judge in Weimar and the experts he called upon for deciding a case proves this. He had asked three experts to provide expert opinions in response to a complaint from a mother of two that her children were suffering severe physical and psychological harm in school from being forced to wear masks, to comply with social distancing, and constantly getting PCR tested. All three experts are respected professors at German universities. On April 8, 2021, on the basis of this expert testimony, he ordered that the school and the school principal had to stop all such measures immediately. Based on the testimony of the expert witnesses, he had determined that the measures were without any factual basis, because the PCR test invented by the now highly controversial German professor Drosten is not approved for diagnostic purposes, but only for scientific purposes. And contrary to the claims of Professor Drosten, it can, in fact, under no circumstances tell us anything about infections. In addition, he has found that these COVID measures caused very serious damage to the health of the children, of which the long-term consequences are incalculable. A few weeks after the decision, due to political pressure, his house, office and car were searched, and his computer and cell phone were seized because he was accused of a crime. The accusation of bending the law is in the air, which is a crime. But the specific accusation was not that his decision was wrong on its merits. No. In fact, it still stands unchallenged on its merits, and for a very good reason. Both a court of appeal in Portugal and an administrative court in Austria had previously come to the same conclusion, that a PCR test cannot detect infections and therefore cannot be the basis for any anti-corona measures. Instead, the accusation was that, as a family court judge, he did not have subject matter jurisdiction to decide the case. Rather, the criminal, obviously politically driven case against him, states that an administrative court has subject matter jurisdiction over such cases. However, in the meantime, several appellate court decisions in Germany have confirmed that in such cases of endangerment of a child's welfare, of course the family courts have jurisdiction and must intervene, not the administrative courts. Parallel to this, such searches and seizures were also carried out at the homes of the three expert witnesses, the lawyer who had supported the children, and a popular artist who happens to be a friend of the judge. Shortly thereafter, such searches and seizures were also conducted at the home of another respected professor. This professor is one of the world's best-known experts on vaccinations and vaccines, who have been critical of the safety and efficacy of these injections, as they are not backed up by any scientific or medical studies. How could it have come to this in a country that calls itself a democracy? Specifically, how is it that politics in Germany and in other countries, in gross violation of the Roman legal principle of audiatur et altera pars, which means here also the other side, with the help of mainstream media exclusively spreading government propaganda and denigrating any and all dissenting opinions as right-wing, Nazi, are now enforcing COVID measures ever more harshly without any factual basis? Meanwhile, Mr. Global and his political puppets are calling for permanent lockdowns, first COVID lockdowns, then climate lockdowns, and the continued use of untested alleged vaccines not just once, but regularly recurring every 6 months, shots every 6 months. In some countries, this is already reality. I will give you the answer below, based on the Corona Committee's expert hearings, by first reporting the facts about the actual dangerousness of the virus and the reliability of the PCR test and the health and economic damage caused by the measures. Then I'll explain what plans Mr. Global is openly pursuing, as evidenced by the written and oral statements of, for example, World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab and Microsoft founder Bill Gates, while distracting the population from these goals with the help of the COVID pandemic. And finally, I'll explain how we, the people, can regain not only our sovereignty, but also the assets that have been stolen from us by Mr. Global for decades. First, let's take a look at the COVID measures and how they were never about health. This virus is no more dangerous than a common flu. There are indications that the original virus, allegedly first detected in Wuhan, was artificially produced in the Wuhan Institute of Virology by means of so-called gain-of-function experiments. Such experiments intend to make a virus more dangerous, in particular to cause it to jump from animals to humans. These are, in fact, experiments for the production of bioweapons. Among others, the U.S. immunologist Dr. Fauci and the aforementioned German virologist Professor Dr. Drosten were significantly involved in such gain-of-function experiments. There are a lot of things that need to be clarified, but this much is certain. The original virus has long since ceased to exist. Rather, as with every flu virus, various variants, mutation have been documented that may spread more quickly, but are far less dangerous than the original virus. And it doesn't make a difference if it was artificial or natural. In addition, however, there are considerable doubts that the virus was ever isolated in a scientifically correct manner. Many scientists assume now that the flu virus or influenza A or B was merely relabeled by Mr. Global into a coronavirus pandemic. Ultimately, however, none of this matters, for the question of the severity or dangerousness of the virus is easy to answer. In the meantime, even the highly controversial WHO, which is in fact controlled by its largest donors, including the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and its offshoot Gavi, which together have a stake in almost all vaccine manufacturers in the world, agrees with Professor John Ioannidis of Stanford University, one of the most cited scientists in the world. The severity of the virus, with a so-called infection fatality rate of 0.14 to 0.15%, corresponds with that of the flu. There was no excess mortality anywhere before the beginning of the so-called vaccinations. As far as there were isolated increases or spikes in mortality, for example, in Bergamo, Italy, and in New York, these are explained with massive medical malpractice. In Bergamo, predominantly very old people with pre-existing conditions in nursing homes had died. Their immune systems had previously been weakened by vaccinations, and then, in order to keep the hospitals free for the panic-stricken COVID patients who never arrived, sick people, including influenza patients, were transferred to the elderly care homes. These then infected the weakened people there. In addition, the WHO had installed Ranieri Guerra into the Italian Ministry of Health, who falsified the data for the pandemic exercise plans. Their last pandemic exercise had not taken place in 2016, but in 2006, so that the medical professionals were unprepared. In the meantime, he's not working at the Ministry of Health anymore, but the Italian Public Prosecutor's Office is investigating him. In New York, as every year during flu season, some, but by no means all hospitals were overcrowded. On the hospital ship Comfort, with 1,000 beds available, no more than 20 to 40 beds were ever occupied. In New York, it also affected predominantly older people with pre-existing morbidities. Without the panic messages in the media, many people who would have stayed at home and cured themselves under the correct assumption that they were ill with a flu or flu-like illness stormed some of the hospitals and fell victim to either hospital germs or massive medical malpractice by, for example, intubation instead of receiving oxygen with oxygen masks, or far too high dosages of hydroxychloroquine, or being treated with dangerous medications such as remdesivir. Of course, respiratory illnesses, including this one, which is now called COVID-19, are, like the flu, dangerous diseases. And of course, COVID-19, just like the seasonal flu, has individual severe courses of illness and also death. Typically, however, the immune system intercepts the virus and especially the highly toxic spike protein in the mouth and nose. It only becomes dangerous when the immune system is bypassed and the, mind you, highly toxic spike protein, but also other ingredients such as mRNA and lipids and other nanoparticles are injected directly into the body. In any case, as post-mortem examinations carried out in Germany have shown in the meantime, the people who allegedly died with or from COVID before the start of vaccinations, with few exceptions, had all passed the average human life expectancy and or suffered from other serious pre-existing diseases. Virtually none of the people who allegedly died of COVID had actually died from COVID. 96% of the people who allegedly died of COVID in New York and Bergamo, and 85% of those in Sweden had died from completely different diseases. How was the corona pandemic invented? What was behind this? Based in part on the testimony of two former WHO employees and advisors, but also on the testimony of historians and investigative journalists, as well as scientists, we can now trace the following chronology. Concrete planning for the corona pandemic has been going on for at least 10 years, and this is verifiable. The corona pandemic has been a completely planned pandemic by Mr. Global for at least 10 years. Previously, in 2009, an attempt by Mr. Global to turn the swine flu into a pandemic failed literally at the very last second. In particular, because the German lung specialist, Dr. Wolfgang Wodak, who at the time had political power as a member of the German Bundestag and the European Council, had exposed that pandemic as a mild flu. Back then, the WHO had unexpectedly changed the definition of a pandemic overnight, so that today any flu can be declared a pandemic. Until then, a pandemic was considered to be a worldwide disease with many severe illnesses and many deaths, and suddenly it was supposed to be simply a worldwide disease event without the need for many severe illnesses and many deaths. Due to this completely surprising and never explained change in definition, it was possible for the WHO, which is closely intertwined with the global pharmaceutical industry, to declare the swine flu a pandemic in 2009. The consequence of this was that expensive vaccines were produced and sold worldwide on the basis of contracts that have been kept secret to this day. These vaccines not only proved to be completely unnecessary because, contrary to all the horrific announcements from the pharmaceutical industry and universities close to it, millions of deaths were allegedly going to happen worldwide if the vaccination wasn't carried out, the swine flu ultimately turned out to be a mild flu. Furthermore, the vaccines led to serious health problems. Around 1,300 children in Europe, especially in the Scandinavian countries, became incurably ill with narcolepsy and are now permanently disabled. Long before the current corona pandemic, dozens of patents on the coronavirus, including the spike protein, and also on the so-called vaccines, had already been registered. Even before the outbreak of the alleged corona pandemic, American scientists were explicitly advertising investments in corona vaccines to potential investors. In October of 2019, before the corona pandemic rolled out in March 2020 with lockdowns, social distancing, mask mandates, and finally the so-called vaccines, a final exercise took place in New York under the title Event 201. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Economic Forum, and the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security were involved. Shortly thereafter, an outbreak of what is now known as COVID-19 allegedly occurred for the first time in Wuhan, China, due to an allegedly novel coronavirus. A short time later, however, the excitement died down in China and the alleged novel disease had been brought under control. Mr. Global, however, used the Wuhan incident as a springboard, so to speak, to set in motion his long-planned corona pandemic. The staging of the pandemic with the help of the Drosten PCR test. This is the centerpiece. While all politicians and physicians worldwide, among them also the virologist Professor Drosten, as well as the mainstream media, were still reassuring the citizens and explaining that the virus from China would, just like a mild flu wave, not be noticed by the vast majority of the people, that no special measures needed to be taken, in particular that masks were completely unnecessary and pointless, Professor Dr. Drosten, whose academic background is now highly doubtful, invented a PCR test with which COVID-19 infections could allegedly be detected. This was at the beginning of January of 2020, while he was telling everyone that there was nothing to worry about. In two papers, the contents of which were disseminated worldwide by the WHO, he made two false claims, deliberately false, as has since been established. Two false claims that were crucial to the pandemic. First, he claimed that there are asymptomatic infections, that is, that everyone should be afraid of every perfectly healthy person showing no symptoms because he or she could be infected with COVID-19 and be potentially dangerous, contagious. Secondly, he claimed his PCR test, as the gold standard, could detect concrete contagious infections with COVID-19. Now, asymptomatic infections with respiratory viruses such as influenza or corona do not exist. as most recently proven by a study conducted with 10 million subjects in Wuhan in late 2020, and as Drosten also knew when he published this. And the PCR test invented by Nobel Prize winner Carey Mullis is neither approved nor suitable for diagnostic purposes. This is because it cannot distinguish between living and dead viral fragments, and it also tests positive for fragments of a virus left over from the immune system's fight against the flu or cold that has long since passed. In particular, the test cannot determine whether a whole virus, fragments are not enough anyway, has entered cells and is replicating there. Drosten knew all this and had explicitly stated 6 years earlier in a newspaper interview concerning the MERS virus, which is another coronavirus, that a positive test had no meaning, but that completely healthy people could also test positive. Virtually overnight, for reasons that have not yet been fully resolved, but that suggest an involuntary early start to this pandemic, Mr. Global, through the WHO, politicians, and mainstream media, suddenly changed his mind. Mr. Global put pressure on the WHO to quickly declare a public health emergency of international concern. Public health emergency of international concern. According to the freely invented rules of the WHO, such an international health emergency is the only basis on which completely new, untested drugs, in this case so-called vaccines, can be used on humans. Usually, the development and approval of a new drug takes at least 8 to 10 years. At the first emergency meeting in February of 2020, those present could not agree to declare this fake public health emergency of international concern because there were no cases. Nevertheless, because of the allegedly highly dangerous situation, the group agreed to meet again 2 weeks later. At that second emergency meeting, the public health emergency of international concern, was actually declared. What had changed? Well, nothing. However, Professor Drosten had made his PCR test available to the WHO, and with the help of this test, the cases needed for the declaration of a fake had been created. Today, it must be assumed that the proclamation of the public health emergency of international concern and subsequently all COVID measures were based solely upon completely meaningless false positive test results. First of all, a PCR test per se cannot detect infections, contagious infections under any circumstances, as I just explained. Above all, however, Drosten had set up his test in such a way that it was guaranteed to generate false positives. This is because of the so-called cycles of amplification, which one needs to evaluate the results of the test. That is, the machine into which the swabs are placed enlarges the molecules that are otherwise invisible to the human eye in many cycles, so-called cycles of amplification, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, etc. There's now a consensus that anything over 24 cycles is completely unscientific and therefore useless. Therefore, the Frankfurt Health Department doesn't take test results of more than 24 cycles into consideration at all. And Dr. Mike Eden, formerly of Pfizer, has stated, in agreement, by the way, with Dr. Fauci, that more than 35 cycles results in at least 97% false positives. And the Drosten test, which served as a blueprint for the vast majority of tests subsequently performed worldwide, in that test, 45 cycles of amplification were used. This was followed, always accompanied by the panic orchestra of the mainstream media and the vast majority of politicians, in quick succession by the COVID measures such as the lockdown, which had been invented shortly before in China, social distancing, mask mandates, and finally the so-called vaccines. These alleged vaccines are in reality gene therapeutic experiments on unsuspecting humans because there was no valid informed consent. It should be emphasized at this point that every invasive medical intervention is a bodily injury or battery unless the patient explicitly consents to it. And his consent is invalid if he is not informed correctly and completely, that is, about the fact that no medical studies have been conducted, there's only an emergency use authorization, and about the numerous very serious side effects that have become known in the meantime. This concept of informed consent is the most important result of the Nuremberg trials of 1946. However, it was precisely these injections, designated by way of deception as vaccines, with substances that had not previously been tested in scientific studies for their safety and efficacy, that had been Mr. Goebbels' goal from the very beginning. The subsequent steps ordered after the proclamation of the fake lockdown, social distancing, compulsory masking served only to make the population believe in a danger that didn't exist, to unsettle and disorient them, and thus make them so compliant that they would finally consent to the so-called vaccines as the only means of obtaining protection or immunity against the disease. There is no reason for the use of these vaccines. This is because, as stated above, there's no COVID pandemic at all, only a PCR test pandemic. Apart from that, there are highly effective and completely harmless alternative preventive and curative treatments as outlined above. Even worse, the vaccines are completely ineffective, as the example of Israel shows particularly dramatically. There, 86% of the people treated in hospitals for COVID are double vaccinated, and the vaccines are highly dangerous. Through a whistleblower, it has become known that the numbers of deaths after vaccination in one of the U.S. registers have been falsified. Conservative estimates now arrive at least 500,000 deaths after vaccination since the beginning of the vaccine rollouts. In addition, there are other serious side effects such as neurological disorders, thromboses, myocarditis, and more. For the fall, winter, and coming spring, experts expect severe problems for those vaccinated when they encounter the so-called wild virus in the form of a cold or flu virus due to ADE, that's a cytokine storm, autoimmune diseases, and more severe cases of thrombosis, among others. Since these vaccines damage the immune system, not only will each subsequent booster cause more damage, but precisely the contact with the so-called wild virus will as well. All the massive side effects that have occurred in the meantime were known to the American CDC long before the vaccine rollout began. Worse yet, as evidenced by the now disclosed contents of both the manufacturer's documents submitted to the EMA, the European Medical Agency, and the manufacturer's secret contracts with nation states, the manufacturers do not know whether their so-called vaccine is effective. They do not know it. Nor do they know if it is dangerous. But they demand immunity from nation states in the event that claims are made against them for vaccine injuries. And they also explicitly demand that if there are alternative methods of treatment, which do, of course, make vaccines completely unnecessary, their experimental products must still be purchased. Finally, let's take a look at the plans of Mr. Global and the controlled politicians and how these plans can be prevented. Amazingly, anyone can read what Mr. Global and his puppets, such as Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum, or Bill Gates, the Microsoft founder and world's largest vaccine investor, are up to. It is all out in the open. For many years, following in his father's footsteps, who was a convinced eugenicist, Bill Gates has been talking about the need to dramatically reduce the world population. For years, he has been in the headlines again and again for using alleged vaccines in Africa and India, which in reality led to the sterilization of women and girls. Klaus Schwab goes in the same direction and spells this out, for example, in his book, The Great Reset, and demands beyond that, supported by the current Pope, by the way, a world government under the UN, which has, in the meantime, been brought under control by the WEF. This is to be achieved by creating as much worldwide chaos as possible in the form of pandemics,
wars, including civil wars and natural disasters, so that the world population becomes convinced that the national governments are overwhelmed and only a world government can help. At the same time, Schwab calls for the shifting of all wealth to Mr. Global so that in 2030, no one, except, of course, Mr. Global, will still own anything, but will supposedly be happy with that. In addition, and this is the central building block in Mr. Global's strategy, cash is to be abolished and replaced by a digital currency. This will be allocated to or taken away from every person in the world, who can then also be found anywhere at any time by various tracking systems. This is to be done by a single central world bank. Quite obviously, therefore, this is in particular the opinion of the psychologists and psychiatrists whom the Corona Committee has heard. When it comes to Mr. Global and his puppets, we're dealing with psychopaths and sociopaths. And here's another important piece of information. Through the WEF, initiated by Klaus Schwab in 1971, Mr. Global has been training his own puppets since 1992 through the Young Global Leaders Program. Angela Merkel and Bill Gates were among the first class to graduate, the class of 1992. Even a large number of current leaders, politicians, predominantly weak personalities with, however, mostly well-trained rhetorical skills, also come from this program, including Macron in France, Kurz in Austria, Justin Trudeau in Canada, Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand, but also the German Health Minister Jens Spahn and the EU Commission head Ursula von der Leyen. Against this background, which increasingly more people are recognizing, very large legal disputes have been set in motion or are now being set in motion in India, in South Africa, in the US, in Canada, and in France, among others. Their goal is to hold those who are responsible for this pandemic accountable under both civil and criminal law. This also includes that the assets that have been taken away from the world's population by Mr. Global and the global corporations and NGOs controlled by him, not only since COVID, but already for decades, are returned. In those cases where there are no clear criminal actions, but where instead contracts are the basis for damages, these should all be void. In particular, Anglo-American law, with its powerful tools of class action, pretrial discovery, and of course, punitive damages in the event that willful intentional infliction of damage can be shown, provides the tools for very effective justice. In Portugal, Germany, excellently written court decisions have stated that the completely unsuitable Drosten PCR test cannot be a basis for any COVID measures. The Berlin Corona Committee also
And I have to end. We'll continue. There's about 10 minutes left in the speech. She's almost done with it, though. I will play the rest of it next Friday. See you then. Have a good weekend. Goodbye and God bless. This is Jay from the Redview Radio Show. See you next.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.